Blog Talk Radio.
For a champion, they're your best bet. Wish I could quarterback like Donnie Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember
Please
Red Brain, the galloping ghost? He could do
nine,
a 95 running coast to coast.
Seven,
and North Van Rocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Why ain't Tittle, Allie Madison? Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sport of game, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows, weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? This is Mike, coming back to the new episode of CMT Firestorm, where we bring you the and brightest, boldest in the world to do with football. And, of course, we bring you completely, completely biased reviews on everything. Then we got our panel together. Boys are back in town. Let's get it cracking. So that's from the Windy City. We got Chi-Town Mike. What's cracking, Mike?
What's going on, everybody? After the Super Bowl, I know we're going to be hearing the talk. I just want to send out a couple of shout outs before everybody hit. You know, today is one of my closest friends, childhood friends' birthday, Isaiah Thompson. And I want to wish my Howard University friend, and she's from Chicago as well, Aria Went, a happy birthday. And I'll save the glow with some good old ice cream. Y'all need to check it out. Richards Ice Cream. I give you the website, it's www.richardsicecream.com. If you're an ice cream lover, some good old ice cream. How about my boy Leonard Miller from Hertz?
All right, look out, man.
That was a completely free plug from Mike.
Hey, what's good, man? Happy to be here. Ready to get into some football. Interesting games this weekend. Just looking forward to it, man. Theme of the new year is, man, we're going to elevate this show to another level, man. That's the plan for next year.
All right. Coming out from the Lone Star State, Big Tex, what's going on, Tex? Hello?
Tex.
Okay.
He's on the queue. Yeah, he'll call in a second.
Okay. Let's see if we can get him back on here. One second, folks, we're having technical difficulty.
Yeah, sorry about that, fellas. I had y'all on mute, man, for a minute.
Oh, okay. All right, we got a text on with us. All right, cool. I know the big thing on everybody's mind, but let's get started off on the lower level right now. We just got finished up wrapping up National Signing Day for college football, which is a big part of the college football world. From what I'm hearing right now, coming in with the number one class in the country will be the Alabama Crimson Tide. Bama put together, just from what I understand, they put together a monster class this year. I think they had something like six five-star
recruits. They flipped a couple of guys from other schools. They got Deshaun Hand. He was committed to University of Michigan. He's a big defensive end. People are comparing him to Jadeveon Clowney. They got two of the top cornerbacks in the country. They got the top linemen in the country. They were loaded. I gotta give that out. They really outdid themselves this time. And it's especially coming off in Alabama's eyes, a disappointing season. Anybody else's eyes would be pretty spectacular. But they put together one heck of a class here. Quazelle, you are a resident Alabama expert. What do you think about the class you guys just put together?
Well, I mean, I really can't give a great analysis because I don't really know these players that much. But, I mean, to have the top recruiting class in the country for the third straight year, I mean, I think it's fourth straight year too. So, it's just a telling of Nick Saban, the staff, and I think Alabama already, if they had the worst recruiting class in the country, I would still pick them to win the national championship next year due to the success of the previous 3 to 4 signing classes. But I think that it just gives a testament to the Alabama program. I mean, how they treat their players, how the facilities are, the campus environment, the Tuscaloosa, the college town environment. It just speaks to that, and a lot of kids want to be a part of that. So, it just speaks to Alabama as a program and as a university.
I just got to be honest with you, man. I mean, besides the winning football program, I just don't see what Tuscaloosa would have to offer anybody. I mean, I'm talking about in terms of things outside of football. I mean,
it's a great college town.
I mean,
You know what?
The last place on earth I might want to go though. Besides, like,
no, it's a different environment. It's like you're saying, you're comparing like Tallahassee, going to school. Like for example, it's like you're going to school at Florida State of Florida, or you're going to school at USF. USF. That's in Tampa. It's in Tampa. You see that Tampa has more to offer than Tallahassee, but in regards to a college town environment, Tallahassee would be better. Same thing in Alabama. Alabama is an ultimate college town, or like Gainesville, Florida, that's an ultimate college town. So if you're between the ages of 18 and 21 years old going to college, you would rather be in a college town environment instead of a big city, because people that go out in a big city are adults. They're young adults. They're not college students. I mean, there are college students, but you're going to have more fun in a college town environment. That's the point I'm trying to say.
But, I mean, my thing is, okay, say if even I went to, like, FSU or University of Florida, at least I'm only 2 hours away from Miami. You know what I mean? I can get somewhere. I mean, and Tuscaloosa.
But you ain't going to go nowhere as a college student. I mean, you'll go on, like, a road trip or whatnot, but it ain't like you're going every weekend. You ain't going to go, like, you're going to barely go, like, maybe once or twice a year, if that. You know, I mean, when you go to the big cities, those are for young adults.
It seems like one weekend in Tuscaloosa, I could know everybody there. You know, even
no, it ain't gonna be like that. It'll be lots of females there, good looking females there. It'll be lots of parties going on all the time. Yes, in the college, yes, it's just like Gainesville. You think Gainesville? Gainesville is like a party going on up there all the time. Gainesville and Tuscaloosa are very
Tuscaloosa
similar.
Because, I mean, everybody knows that Gainesville is a party town, though. I've never heard of Tuscaloosa mentioned in any of that. I mean,
it's a party town.
I mean, we know Tallahassee is a party school. I mean, you know, a party town. But, I mean, I've never heard anybody go, hey, let's go to Tuscaloosa. Or you're going to go to Tuscaloosa this weekend. You've never heard that.
You know, I mean, but you're not in the state of Florida, they're going to say that, or Georgia, but then they're going to say that if they don't live in Alabama. If you don't live in Alabama, you're not going to say that. You're not going to say that if you don't live in Alabama.
So people in Alabama.
I know a lot of people will be like, man, let's go to Auburn. I know a lot of people will be like, man, let's go to Auburn. You know, and when I was in high school, some cats that went to Alabama State, I know they'd be like, man, let's go to Auburn, man. They got this party going on over there. Let's head out there. So, and Auburn's sort of that college town environment, too. So, I mean, it depends where you live
Maybe.
At, what state you live in.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I guess I can see it. I just when you look at,
you know, Miami or SC. I mean, schools in big cities where you're going to be a damn near a national celebrity as soon as you get there. You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe like you
it's
said,
a different because those are cities. The point is, those are cities where people, grown people, hang out. These are still technically kids. These are grown
people. That's what I'm saying,
though,
but I mean,
in these cities.
You go to Miami, you go to Miami or USC, you're going to be hanging out with those people.
Yeah.
Here's the, I just want to chime in real quick, and I think it's real simple why you get people trying to get to Tuscaloosa and other different places, and, you know, everybody, these guys are, you know, they're trying to get to warm weather states. Don't nobody want to be upstate playing football. It's as simple as that.
Guys
want to be in warm weather states. You know, they don't want to be cold. This is where they want to be. And I mean, just look how many recruits chose to come to the South this year, or how many choose to come every single year. You know, I think the climate, you know, I think it plays a part. You know, nobody wants to be in Wisconsin freezing their ass off.
And another thing, too, is the South, man, I mean, we have that hospitality down here in the South. They don't have that on the West Coast. They don't have that in Miami. You know, when you're in the South, man, you got that hospitality. Like, you feel like you're at home, man. That's another factor, too. When you bring those recruits in, they feel like they're at home. You know, when you send somebody out to California or Miami, they ain't going to act like that.
I watched a movie about Southern hospitality a couple of weeks ago. It was called Mississippi Burning. Have you ever seen that? very, very hospitable.
I know. I watched a documentary on the riots, too, in L.A. I watched a documentary on the L.A. riots, too. You know, and the Black Panther Party in Oakland. You know that, right? I watched a documentary on the Black Panther Party in Oakland. You know that, right?
Those are black people taking control of their situation, not being put up.
Oh, please, they didn't take control. Yeah, they damaged their neighborhoods. That's what they did. That's what they did. They didn't go to Westwood with that mess. They didn't go over to Westwood or San Francisco with that mess. They stuck in their own neighborhoods throwing rocks and stuff at people. They didn't go to Westwood with that mess.
Black people going, hey, don't come over here with all that. Nobody's getting put in the tree over here. But anyway. Like I say, you know, like National Signing Day, it's always an exciting day, you know, because you get to see the high school guys come. I put a link up on the CMT page about Willie Williams a couple of years ago for a University of Miami kid out of Florida. Who are some, you know, he was a big, big bust. Everybody predicted him to be the next great Miami linebacker. He ended up switching schools a couple of times, and I think he's in jail right now. Who are some guys in recent memory that you guys maybe know of that were big-time recruits that just didn't pan out for one reason or another?
Man, that's a good question. You mean like Willie Williams?
Yeah, because, yeah, you know, not on his level, you know, but kind of guys in that mold, you know.
Does it have to be somebody that's in jail right now, or just...
No, I mean, like I said, they don't have to be as far as in jail. I mean, just guys who, you know, who are you know, once-in-a-lifetime kind of guys who just didn't pan out at all, you know.
Man, that's tough, because, you know, nobody, you rarely hear about guys hitting it that hard like that.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
I forgot about the guy, too. You got to
get we're not just talking about the guy that goes to school and then
including them, too. That's, you know, like I said, just overall busts. I mean, who are some of the biggest busts you guys know of, you know, just in recent history?
Man, that's a good question, man. I can't think of nobody along the lines of Willie Williams, and I know we're not talking about somebody that extreme, but I mean, I guess you hardly hear nowadays about, and you know, guys, you know, they you know, they fall out all the time, but you rarely hear about that type of instance.
Well, I know one of the more famous cases was came from back in the 80s. What was the dude's name? I think he went to Oklahoma. Marcus Dupree.
Marcus Dupree. But he wasn't really a bust, man. He just.
But he played in the league, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he played in the league.
Yeah,
he wasn't a bust.
But you know, he was never. Everybody pictured him as being, you know, I think he came in right after who was like Billy Sims or something like that. Everybody pictured him being the next, you know, basically, you know, Walter Payton type of walking on water type of running back. And
oh no, Maurice Claret or something.
Yeah, but he quit, though, man. Like, these guys could actually play. They just decided to quit for whatever reason. Marcus Dupree showed that he could play on that level.
Claret didn't decide anything. Claret to get out of jail.
Yeah, he had to. I thought you were talking about guys that, like, were really rated high, and then when they had the opportunity, they showed they couldn't play.
Well, I just mean guys who didn't make it any, you know, either way. You know, just like I said,
the guy I'm thinking about is Phillip Sims. He played for Alabama. It was him and McCarron battling for the job. He lost the job to McCarron, and then it just went downhill from there, man. He transferred to Virginia. He got kicked out of Virginia for academic reasons, and then Now he's at Winston-Salem State. I still think he's going to get drafted as a quarterback, but very low rounds, and he'll make a roster at some point. But I don't see him.
He should be a senior this year, shouldn't he?
Yeah, he'll play 1 year at Winston-Salem State, and then he's going to go to the league. Isaiah Crowell, he went to the league. He was at Alabama State. He didn't really do that well at Alabama State. I'm thinking about Chris Carter's son, Deron Carter.
He's about to get drafted, man. Crowell's about to get drafted, dude. What are you talking about?
Who?
Crowell.
Who's about to get drafted?
Scouts are looking at him, man. Scouts are looking at Crowell.
In what round?
They're looking at Crowell. What you talking about?
And at what round, though?
It doesn't matter what round. His name is being circulated around as a bargain. It's a high upside bargain for a later round, of course. But he's on the radar. Trust that.
Yeah, if Crowell's still at Georgia, you know, we probably won't even be talking about Todd Gurley right now. So, you know, dude could definitely play. Speaking of him, there's also Mike Dyer, you know, from Louisville.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's going to try to, you know, he's trying to resurrect himself at Louisville. And get his career back on track. It's just a shame, you know, how many of these guys, you know, their careers start off so bright and then it just, you know, it up and vanishes. Another guy who I can think of off the top of my head went to University of Florida, and I actually believe he's friends of somebody who we know. What is this dude's name? Torian Charles. I don't know if you guys remember him.
Name sounds familiar.
Miami Northwestern. And you don't remember him? They had that documentary about him, Year of the Bull. Remember? He was like the first.
Northwestern like guy, man.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. What happened to him?
He was like the first big dude to come from Northwestern, really. And he kind of flamed out. I think he ended up leaving there. And then transferring to like DCC or someplace like that, and didn't end up on a too high of a.
Yeah, he had attitude issues, man. The guy had attitude issues in high school.
Well, shit, you see in the documentary, he beat up his.
Oh, okay. Steve said he knows what happened to him, so he's online. He said he knows what happened to him. He's going to explain it when you put him on.
Oh, okay, yeah, I want to hear about that. Let's bring in Steve right now to hear what he has to say about that. Hey, what's up?
Because when y'all were talking about that, I was gonna say his name if I ever got timed in. But yeah, he actually transferred to Bethune-Cookman. He played for Bethune-Cookman because, you know, I had a lot of family with the Northwestern, so they keep up with those athletes. He just couldn't stay out of trouble, man. He was doing all other kind of things, and his talent level fell off. He didn't have no work ethic or nothing, so. He pretty much just panned out. He's back in Liberty City now, doing nothing. You know what I mean? Like a lot of Miami players that have attitude issues.
If he's Is he at least trying to coach anything? Or? Is he at least, like, trying to coach or anything?
Nah, he's not trying to coach or nothing. He's just back in the city, man. He ain't doing nothing. You know,
a lot of
players
like city,
that. Yeah. A lot of them players are like that, man. When they don't, it's either Northwestern, you make it or bust. You go back to the city, and that's it. You're a legend in your city, but you're looked upon as a failure, man. So that's what
also,
people think about him in Miami.
Speaking of Northwestern.
Who you talking? What play y'all talking about?
Torian Charles, Mike. Speaking of Northwestern, there was a Aldarius Johnson, too, recently, wide receiver who went to University of Miami. I think he was the number one red wide receiver when he came out. And he kind of flamed out, too. He didn't. He really didn't have the career at Miami. And then I think he tried to go to the draft. I don't know. Do you know anything about what happened with him, Steve? I think he tried to go to the draft, and they didn't let him come to the combine or something. I remember reading something about it, and then I just didn't hear anything else about him.
Well, they let him do the Al Golden was nice enough to let him do the pro day at Miami. You know what I mean? But he didn't get panned out for him at the end of the day. So he couldn't go to the combine. So he was just screwed pretty much. He had the pro day to show what he could do, and that was it. I was following him on Twitter, and he was, you know, putting his rants out there. But there's nothing he could really do, man. So I mean, that's a guy that had a world of talent. You know,
super
I mean, he was a part of that.
6'4", fast.
Yeah.
I said he was 6'4", you know, fast, big.
Yeah. That what really hurt him is his senior season. He was gonna be the main guy, and what ended up happening with the little sanctions and stuff, and then he lied. He didn't cooperate. He failed to cooperate. We're gonna cut you loose, man, because you don't want to cooperate with the investigation. Because he did get paid plenty of times, you know. He tried to admit it afterwards, but it's too late now, buddy. You know what I mean? So
exactly. Like, yeah, I forgot he was one of those guys.
He had like a daughter or something like that, and they was raised the kid, and you know, it was a lot of stuff going on, man. So you know, Ray was with us too. You know what I mean? Ray Armstrong. We had a kid in Kissimmee that ended up going to UF. He his name was Willie Green. He was a bad running back, but he ended up going to UF and not panning out. So
I remember Willie Green. I remember Willie Green.
Yeah.
Now you know Ray Armstrong. Ray Armstrong is with the Rams now. He's playing linebacker for the Rams.
What?
Yeah.
No.
He made the roster.
Wow, he did get, because I remember me and you were talking about it.
Ray Armstrong made the roster.
That's what's up, man. There was a lot of riffraff between, you know, at one time in Sanford, man, there was a lot of riffraff between the two families. You know, they all, Andre the Bowles and Ray, they grew up together. And, you know, they said Andre the Bowles was selling out, you know, selling everything. And the families kind of fell apart. They were fighting and all kind of stuff was going on in the city. So, we kind of like, a lot of people in Sanford just kind of like forgot about that dude, man. Cause you know, they had like a Ray Day and all that stuff.
Yeah, he made the Rams roster. He made the Rams. He's a linebacker now. I think he wears number 50.
Well, I'm happy for the young guy, man.
Yeah.
How close do you think the relationship is between some of these guys, like that are from like the smaller cities, like that? You know, do they try to look out for the other guys to make sure they make it and keep one straight and narrow, or what?
Well, I know a lot of them look out for each other. That was the thing. That was the problem. That was the reason that there was a whole issue between the families, between Andre the Bowles and Ray. It's like y'all are all like brothers, but you know. They felt there was disloyalty on his part as far as the investigation. But, you know, and then they were all supposed to go to the University of Miami together, and he just flip-flopped and went to Florida. So he was just, you know. And then that guy, Andre the Bowles, he had like he had a problem. The reason he never blossomed is because he never would learn the playbook. You know, he was doing other things, smoking, and doing other things that he shouldn't have been doing. So all he's been is a return guy. And then he got hurt. Last season was supposed to be a season to come out, but he got hurt, man. But you know, a lot of those kids look out for him.
I know a lot of those. A lot of those University of Florida guys who came from the Florida area in that class, in the previous class, like DeBose, Deontay Thompson, you know, guys like that, they never really reached their full potential. What do you guys think? Do you guys think that that's maybe a minus of possibly not getting far enough away from your hometown, you know, if you're in a certain situation when you're, in the process, you know, for signing up for, you know, going to college? Do you think maybe some guys need to get away, you know, and be in a different setting? And maybe, you know, maybe that's the plus of going to a Tuscaloosa where you don't know anybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I imagine a lot of guys want to get out of North Miami, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of part of a disadvantage, whoever's at University of Miami is trying to recruit. And I don't blame these guys for wanting to get out of the city.
Mm-hmm. You know, change the scenery, go somewhere different.
USC's in the middle of Watts, so you know, a lot of the inner-city L.A. talent, some of the guys want to get. That's what happened with DeAnthony Thomas a couple of years ago. You know, he was a USC commit, thing, you know, his best friend got killed right in front of him down there. And he ended up going to Oregon, you know, wanting to get away. And, some of these guys, I can't blame them when they do it. You know, like you said, you know, it's got to be tough trying to focus on school, and you still got, you know, a hood business right around the corner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, it's not. I don't know about this. You know, when we talking about Miami, I don't know. I mean, we're not talking about a change of scenery. We're just talking about the, you know, that life over there in North Miami, just trying to get away from it.
Yeah.
No,
if it wasn't like that, guys wouldn't get away from it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but University of Miami ain't in the middle of North Miami, though.
I mean, I understand that, but it's still in the
area. Yeah, in the area.
In the
area.
It's
the area.
Just you can get there. You can get back to
it. Yeah, you get there.
Yeah, real quick.
Exactly. It can definitely be a kind of tough situation like that. Let me put you on hold, Steve.
I was going to say a player, before I got cut off, Mike, I was going to say a player we could say was kind of a bust where a guy – you know, he would have came out, they say, a year earlier, Mike could have been as high than, you know, no, he did come out, which they thought he was going to go real high. Guy didn't even get drafted. The quarterback, Jevon Snead, remember they were talking about him, he was supposed to go high, and he didn't even get drafted.
He wasn't getting into trouble and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, we're kind of talking about something. Plus, he'd already transferred once. He didn't make it at Texas, so, you know, they said, you know, you kind of know, you know, once a guy transfers a couple of times, you kind of know, you know, what you're going to do. He couldn't crack it, you know, he couldn't make it at Texas. I think he was trying to beat out Colt McCoy or somebody like that. He couldn't beat him out. So then he goes to, Ole Miss or something like that. And, you know, also didn't get drafted. So, okay, it kind of surprised me, but it really didn't. I think he was a highly rated recruit. He was number one, like a number two or three quarterback, too. But, you know, you can't beat those kind of guys out. You know, you can't really expect that much from a guy. Let's bring in Tony Watley here, see what he has to say about this. Tell him what's going on, man.
What's up, guys? How y'all feeling tonight?
What's going on, Tony?
Just talking about the college recruiting process and different things like that. Today is National Signing Day, so.
I was listening to your comments earlier, and for me, honestly, the reason why these high schoolers pick the schools that they pick is very simple. They're champions. They're used to being champions. You are not the top 10 recruit unless you went to a high school that was a championship high school. So you have a championship mentality. You're used to being on a winning team. And when you go to college, you want to go to a winning team. And you want to go to a team that's going to fight for a national championship. And you want to go to a team where you're going to start on a team that's fighting for a national championship so that you get your chance to go to the NFL. They have a plan. The plan is the NFL. And you are not going to get into the NFL by going to Bethune-Cookman. It's, you know, for every 1,000 football players that go through there, maybe the league. So, you know, it's one of those situations of where you can say all kinds of things. You can call it partying. You can call it whatever you want. But the champions pick the champion colleges because they want to go to the NFL and they want to win a national championship because they have that championship mentality. That's the whole purpose why Alabama is getting all of the recruits. It's because champions want to be on championship teams.
I was going to say, also, I was listening to ESPN. You know, when Alabama got there, you know, needing getting the 19 players out of that top, Nick Saban said this was much easier this time around. Getting, he said he had missed out on some top recruits while, you know, being in the championship. I'm like, what? I mean, still, that's it. I mean, I was saying to myself, but they in the championship. You got a chance to play on a championship team that could be in the championship next year. So I'm thinking, like, wow. But didn't know that. But he was saying it was a lot easier this year than any other year since they wasn't in the championship.
Hold up. Okay, my bad. This is my thing in response to Tony Wiley. My thing is, like, and we talked about this last year, if I'm a top running back in the country, why would I want to go to Alabama? When I already know they are four deep at running back with, like, three five-star recruits at running back. They have Yeldon. They got that guy that was in the – I can't even think of his name right now. The guy that was playing in the Sugar Bowl, you know. They got D. Hart still there.
Boy from Florida.
They got that guy Drake there. How am I going to get a spot on the team?
You're missing the fact that these guys are champions. They have the heart and the mentality of a champion. They don't go in there thinking, I'm going to be behind nobody. They go in there thinking, when I get there, all of them are going to get behind me.
Well, if you get to the University of Florida, though, and they got T.J. Yeldon there, you're not thinking you're going to start over Yeldon.
Okay, but Yeldon's already a sophomore, junior. By the time you're a sophomore, he's graduated or gone to the league. You're next in line. That's the way they see it. Okay, yeah, the man that's there is there. When I get there, everybody else goes behind me. So that the man that's there, when he goes to the league, I'm next in line. That's how you see it. You don't get up there thinking I'm third and fourth and fifth in line. You are a champion. You have a champion mentality. So you think when I go in, I don't care how many people are there, I'm going to the front of the line. Why? Because you've done that all your life. It doesn't matter how many different people were in front of you in high school when you got there as a freshman. You went from being on the bench as a freshman to being the starting running back as a sophomore. It didn't matter how many juniors and seniors were running backs.
I don't think Yeldon's going to be the starting running back next year. And that's how deep Alabama is. I don't even think they're going to be the starting running back.
Don't be ridiculous, man. They're going to run the youngster in there. Yeldon is the back, man. It ain't working like that. But Buddy's going to get some burn. Old power back. Old power nimble. Power nimble going
to
get some work.
Back. Yeldon is a scat, man. He's a scat now, but he was the power back. That's what I'm trying to say. He was the power back.
What I was saying was the high school recruits are not coming in worried about who's already there. They're coming in with the mentality that they're going to make their way and they're going to make their name when they get there. They're not sitting worried about who's already there.
But don't you think they should? I mean, look at how many transfers we see every year. Don't you think they should maybe worry about that, though?
Well, the thing is they go in there with the mentality that they're going to be number one. Now, when they get there and then reality sets in and they go, okay, as much as I thought I was the best, I don't got here and realize these niggas good as me. Then they go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it happen. So I mean, I can't, you know, a lot of schools, you know, are starting to play, you know, whoever the best player is now, no matter what, you know, seniority. I know, USC's always been a school. You know, they always, you know, even if you're a freshman, you come in, you're the best. You're gonna play. You know, you look at University of Texas right now. They were starting Jonathan Gray over Malcolm Brown, and they were the number one running backs 2 years running. And
guys were also talking about people that go in from high school into college and then Phil, and then you guys started talking about Tory and Charles. Tory and Charles is my line brother. Me and him crossed Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. I know Tory and Charles like I grew up with him from birth. And yes, Tory and Charles is a young man who has a fire inside of him from the way he was raised and the things he had to go through in his life. He had a fire inside him that made him very aggressive, a very aggressive man. And sometimes that wasn't controlled. That very aggression on the football field was magnificent. The problem is that aggression out in the real world was not acceptable. And, you know, sometimes he would allow himself to be seen being too aggressive in civilian life versus just on the field. And, I mean, he's young. At the time that it was going on, you know, at the time he was at the University of Florida, he was 19. He was 19, 20 years old. He was a young man. Very young, very immature. And it breaks my heart that everything went down the way it did, because I guarantee you, had he been able to make it to the league, he would have been one of the best linebackers in the league right now, because he just had that fire. And he was a magnificent specimen of an athlete. If you look at him, he looked, there wasn't a millimeter of fat on the boy. Not a millimeter of fat. He was just magnificent. And he's a great guy. It's just he taught himself to have a fire. He taught himself to have a mentality to say, I got to make myself be the best I can be. And he was young and immature and could not understand how to control that mentality from the football field to the street.
Wow, that's something. What do you so you think it was more about his mentality? You don't think it was due to the fact that he kind of went to school close to, you know, well, at University of Florida ain't close, but I mean, you don't think maybe if he would have went to another school farther away that might have helped?
No. Because he was, well, like I said, I know him personally, like a brother personally. And his anger came from his situation. He grew up in a very, very difficult situation. He grew up in a very, very difficult environment. He grew up with very meager means. And he learned very, very early in life that what he had physically was what was going to get him out of his situation. And he was taught by his mom and by his coaches and by his family to take that anger, tunnel it, put it in a uniform, and release it on that person with the football. And that's what he did. And that's why when he was in high school, he was one of the top 10 linebackers in the United States of America. He was All-American, all-everything. And, you know, that's because they taught him all of this anger, all of this you have built up, put it in that uniform, and release it on that person with the football. And that's what he did. And like I said, because he was young and immature, he did not also learn that you have to be able to separate when you're on that football field from when you're just walking up and down the street. Because there are going to be those people
that are going to try you on the streets just like those people try you on the football field. And his problem was when someone tried him on the street, he didn't understand that he couldn't release that anger on them like he does when they try him on the football field.
What effect do you think that the movie that was made about him had on him? You think that had any effect on the way on his behavior?
What do you mean, positive or negative effect?
I mean, well, since it was a documentary, do you think maybe he could have watched the movie and been like, okay, I was acting like this, or, you know what I mean?
No,
I
know for a fact how he felt. I mean, I know for an absolute fact how he felt. But his mentality is, or about the whole thing is, y'all don't understand me. Y'all don't understand who I am. Y'all don't understand what I went through. Y'all don't understand how I got to where I am. And, you know, you're just taking something that you see out of context and you're running with it the way you want it to be instead of asking me what it really is and why it really is. And you're just taking what you think, you know, just like you all keep sitting here talking about, well, it's because of where he was raised and it's because of, you know, he didn't get far enough away from home. He ain't trying. That's bullshit. In his mind, y'all don't know what y'all talking about. That is not why he did what he did. And they don't care, he don't care what kind of stats y'all got to prove what you think you know. That is not why he is who he is. And when you guys run around making documentaries and telling the world how he is and you haven't even asked him, he gets very upset about it. I mean, he is a very volatile young man.
Well, I mean,
he's very passionate.
Well, I mean, he agreed to the documentary, of course. You know, I mean, I'm sure he had some sort of rights over how it was put together.
Well, I mean, you cannot not show the anger in him. It's impossible. That's him every day. I mean, that's just who he is. He's, you know, he's not an evil or a mean or a bad person, but he is very, very, very high strung.
If you make a documentary about, if somebody has a documentary made about themselves, they have to assume that people are going to go off what they see in the documentary. I mean, besides you, none of us know the dude. So, I mean, all we can go off of is what we've seen off the documentary. And what I think, you know, pretty much, you know, summed up like you said, a young man who was very talented, but, you know, had some anger issues, you know. And
right, but at the same time, just like we have been talking about this for 20 minutes on this show, in that 20 minutes, I've heard three of you say it's because of this, 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 and this. But where did you get that? Where did you get it's because he didn't get far enough away from Miami? Are you kidding?
Who said Charles?
Do you think
he'd
have been
Charles
any different if he'd have went to California?
Hey, who said
everybody
specifically didn't get away from getting far away from Miami? I'm just trying to figure out who specifically said, like, labeled Charles as a guy that called his name and then said he didn't get away from Miami. I said.
I will not do with you tonight, Tex, and get into semantics. So tell you this.
Who said no? No. Take the emotion out of it. Who said that? I said that.
I heard someone say.
Who? Call a name out.
The problem with a lot of these athletes, and you were talking about Charles at the time, was that they.
No. I wasn't talking about Charles.
Enough away from where they grew up.
Hold on. Don't make it about you, Tony. Nobody said Charles didn't get away far enough from Miami. Did we even go there with that? I said I don't blame kids for wanting to get out of Miami. To leave North Miami, okay?
So
I said I don't just like
no
just like you got. Wait a second.
Before
wait a
I
second.
Show,
wait, hold on.
said that he needed to get farther away from Miami than
I said that.
The University of Florida. I even
heard
somebody say maybe if he went to Alabama. You're going to tell me I didn't hear that.
No, who said that?
Nobody said that. Let me tell you.
Who?
I never.
That's what I'm trying. I'm trying to figure out because I don't even know who Taurean Charles. I don't even remember who he was. Until we're sitting here talking about this.
We're talking about these athletes from Florida or from Miami that made mistakes and got dropped and things like this. It may have not been Charles in particular, but your analysis was very simple. The reason why these kids failed is because they didn't get far enough away from home.
That's not what anybody
no
said.
We didn't say they failed because they didn't get far enough away from home.
I can tell you exactly what said it.
You didn't say that.
About Alabama. I asked a question. I said, do you think that adds to the appeal of a place like Tuscaloosa when these kids are choosing where they go to school at? And then Clausel, I believe, said, yeah. Nobody said anything like what you were saying.
Hell, I said people just want to not play in the cold weather. That's what I said.
And then when you came on just now, Tony, I asked you, I said, do you think it maybe if he would have went somewhere else farther, that would have made a difference? And you said no, and that was it. Nobody else said anything else about that.
Okay, well, again, I misinterpreted what I heard before I came on, because from what I was understanding before I came on, there was someone else that was speaking also, and you guys were talking about how these guys were coming from Miami and these other places, and they were just, you know, they were failing and this, that, the other, and the insinuation was that they weren't getting far enough away from Miami and where they were to get themselves.
That's not what we were talking about.
Nobody
first.
Ever said that.
We were talking about bus in general. Like people who are busts in general, and big name busts in recent times, and we mentioned guys like Marcus Dupree, who had nothing to do with University of Miami. And I mean, when we talked about, we talked about.
Man, this is about to get wild when we talk about NFL. I know Texas ready, boy.
Yeah, I'm ready, man. It don't make me no difference.
Texas ready, boy.
I've been waiting.
Let's wait.
We had Steve come on who mentioned something about Taurean Charles, and then we switched callers, and then that was it. And nobody else mentioned anything else about that. But anyway, okay.
It wasn't me, Tony, because I've been booted off a couple of times, so I didn't
hey,
get it.
Man,
so,
hey, stop. Hey, quit apologizing, dog.
I ain't probably. I don't know what y'all was saying. It's all
what's
good,
the
y'all.
Next question, Mike? Kelly, Mike, what's the next question?
I don't know. This is the only show. I got to check with Tony first to make sure we're not offending him or anything.
I wasn't offended.
This is
my thing. Okay.
We can't have analysis and opinion.
Well, I got a question then. I got a question. I got a quick question. Florida State, they won a national championship last year. Do you guys think, like, we're going to talk about your boy, Wiley? I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm right, Tex. I ain't got to apologize for talking about this. Hold on. First thing is.
You're going to start talking about this.
It's all by yourself. It's my creativity, baby.
There's some people are saying, you know, Winston, he's going to play baseball.
Oh, my God.
And that might distract him from his football. I ain't got to apologize for talking about him. So what are you guys' opinion? What's your guys' opinion on what do you think? You think Winston should focus strictly on football, or should he just try to exhaust both?
He's really, really good at baseball. Go play baseball, man.
I would definitely go.
Because $125 million is $100 million. Hey, yo, if he can play baseball and he's really in it, you know, it's a gamble anyway. You know, regardless, because it's professional sports. But if you can play baseball and you're really, really, really good and you have a future, man, go play baseball, man, because $125 million is $125 million in baseball. And in football, they say they're going to give you $25 million, but it's more like here's $40. And we'll talk later on.
And no rookie cap, you know, now the rookie cap.
He should take the off season and go to the club and find him another girlfriend, because he's really, really good at that, too.
I was going to say this. He said $125 million. By the time he get in the way it's going, he may be looking at $500 million. $500 million, baby.
You mean in court?
Nah,
court?
I don't know.
Hey, he's that good. If he said, excuse my language. If he's that damn good at baseball, is he that damn good at baseball? $500 million. Hey, the money is going up, baby. Look at Seattle
playing
for
Robinson
Cano.
I'm just talking about the money.
We'll see.
The one thing I'd want to, it's obvious to me that the one thing that you'd want to be if you were around Jameis Winston is his lawyer, because he going to get a lot of money over the next 15, 20 years.
I mean, from what I understand, the kid, he was just named to the All-American baseball team, too. So,
which makes no sense to me.
If he can make a
good
pitcher. Especially as a pitcher.
I mean, when you look at his numbers, you're like, is he an All-American as a baseball player? He's good, but is he an All-American as a baseball player?
I mean, he's a closer, you know, and I mean, pitchers are a hot commodity right now, man. Isn't, you know, everybody can't pitch right now, you know. So, I mean, if you're – I mean, look at how many half-decent pitchers make it into the – you know, get a major – let's say this. A half decent pitcher is going to make more than 90% of football players.
Once you take out the five top quarterbacks,
it drops off a lot. And I'll say a starting pitcher is going to make more than all of them.
MLB starts back. We really need to have a show that focuses on the fact that Major League Baseball has lost its luster, and we have some of the greatest athletes on this planet. Yet we have to recruit athletes from around the world to come and play our game. So that says something about the passion that Americans are having, this young generation of Americans is having for that game. And I really think that's a conversation that needs to be had, because when you got to be going to the Dominican Republic and you've got to be going to South America and you've got to be going to all of these other places to get – athletes to play baseball, that says something. And I don't know what it says.
Hold on real quick before we get to the NFL, I want to say something about that. I mean, the issue is, and I know this is like not a football topic, this is for Cold Hard Truth, but the issue is when you're basically the inner city kids, you're black, you're growing up in the inner city, you see football and basketball all the time. You don't really see baseball players. Right. I mean, you grew up with like a Ken Griffey, Barry Bonds, things like that. But it's like, hey, you know, what am I going to do if I'm a young, gifted guy? Am I going to go maybe 2-3 years, play football, and get my money? Or am I going to go like maybe 4-5 years in the minor league? It's a long grind in that minor league system before you get on. You know, but in the long run, you're going to get paid more in baseball. But in the short run, to get that quick money, you're going to be able to play, you're better off playing football or basketball. So that's
the
thing.
You got to look at the sports themselves. You know, I mean, you go to the inner cities. How many baseball diamonds do you see? You can play football in the street. You know, but
that's true.
You know, baseball. You got to get up. You know, bats are expensive. Gloves are hella expensive. You know, most of the football and basketball stuff is given to you. You know, you got to get your own baseball glove if you're gonna play on a baseball team. And you know, it's not being marketed to the inner city anymore like it used to be before.
Yeah.
You know, you used to have, you know, little leagues. I mean, I couldn't tell you how to sign up. You know, I play little league baseball. I couldn't tell you even how to sign up for it right now. You just don't hear about it anymore. So it is,
plus
football.
Like back in the sixth. Oh, I'm sorry. What you say?
No, I was just going to say with the popularity of football, it's, you know. Especially, you know, in the South, like that, you know, football is going to be king, you know. It's not
there's a disconnect. I'm not a sports
analyst type of guy that knows why, but I'm not blind
no,
to see that there's something wrong. There's something, there's a myth somewhere, because it's the one sport where we're having to bring in foreigners to have the best players, and that makes no sense to me.
Just nobody's playing.
The foreigners, they love it.
You could look at boxing too. Like I said before, the American athlete is just becoming lazier and lazier, basically, especially the African American athlete. And it's, you know, our society is.
No, because they saw what happened to Ali. Look what they saw what happened to Ali. I mean, you do boxing, man. You know, I mean, in the long run, man, you might have like some sort of brain damage or something like that, getting knocked upside the head so many times. Cats ain't gonna really want to. A lot of cats don't want to deal with that, man.
There's a chance of it.
And also, too, USC took over in the boxing part, though. You know, about the subject.
Muhammad Ali's life. You show cats Muhammad Ali's life, the first 50 years of his life versus the past 20 years, and cats will take his life probably 9 times out of 10.
I guess. Hold on. Let me bring Matt here. He has something to say real quick about this. I'm gonna put you on hold, Wally.
All right.
Yeah. What's up, Matt?
Hey, man. How y'all doing tonight?
What's going on, Matt?
Yeah, I got you, James.
Jameis Winston, I just wanted to remark to that real quick. Jameis Winston is not an All-American. The guy is going to be playing as a closer and somewhat of a utility player at best. And that's what he was, his third-team All-American as a utility player. It's just publicity. He's not very good. He really isn't. He's not that great.
I don't know about that now.
I'm gonna leave that alone, and I'm gonna get into Major League Baseball. The thing is about Major League Baseball, you guys kind of hit part of it. We don't even get the best players from this country anymore. Mainly they come from, you know, the Caribbean and Latin America, where we get most of them. Some from Japan, you know, but that's where the majority of our star players are from outside the country now. But where we're missing out on Major League Baseball is because they don't know how to relate with times and market the team and appeal to the new generation of Americans. Football does that. For example, football comes out with, okay, there's a couple states that have legalized marijuana for medicinal uses and for recreational uses, 24 states for medicinal and then there are 2 states for recreational. You know what? Let's look into, or at least talk about, that we're going to look into using marijuana as a pain substitute for our football players. You don't hear baseball saying that. Baseball is stuck way, way back in an era and coveting something that no longer exists. Baseball,
where all white men played. You're right.
I've lost a lot of respect for baseball. I love baseball. I still watch baseball, but I've lost a lot of respect for baseball. For everything from their Hall of Fame to their marketing. Their Hall of Fame is a joke. The writers and stuff that are involved in it, a lot of them aren't even baseball writers anymore. Some of them, you know, some of them just give their votes away. I mean, when you have Vince Scully has no say whatsoever who's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, and he's one of the most historical broadcasters that baseball has ever seen. And he has no say in it. So it's kind of like, so who, what kind of jokers do you have voting on this to begin with? And then on top of that, like I said, the marketing around it, it's not conducive to not just inner cities, but to America in general. When you have football at an all-time high, when you have basketball at an all-time high, why would you want to take time out to play baseball? If you truly are an elite baseball player, baseball is a way better deal than the NFL. It's a way better deal than basketball because there's no cap in the league. And on top of that, your whole contract's guaranteed. It's a way better deal. I mean, Russell Wilson isn't playing in Major League Baseball right now, not because he was a better football player. He's not playing in Major League Baseball because he wasn't a good enough baseball player. you're not just competing with the best players in the U.S. You're competing with the best players around the world, just like in the NBA. The NBA, that's why anything like after the 15th pick in the NBA draft doesn't even matter anymore. People just give those things away, you know, because the talent pool is so high in the NBA, it's hard to make it. People end up in the D League. You know, same thing with Major League Baseball. The level of talent is so high that you end up in the minor leagues. So, and there needs to be more of a youth push to get baseball back to where it is. But it's going to take more things like instant replay. It's going to take saying you have strong drug policies, and as sad as it sounds, is allowing that to happen, allowing the athletes to be able to get back to where they were with Bonds and Sosa and McGuire. Kids watch that. Kids wanted to hit the home run. People like to watch that. Those were some of the best ratings in Major League Baseball in the history of baseball. It started to come back around. You know, they didn't know it was steroids at first, you know, admittedly. They even changed the way the baseball was made to help prevent home runs from happening. But it still didn't work. So the problem is with the marketing and the sex appeal to it. People don't want to sit for 3 hours and watch somebody chuck a baseball. They want to see somebody hit baseballs out of the park. That's what they want to see.
Hold on. Well, the thing is, Matt, like, baseball is not necessarily made for TV. But the thing is, like, I know baseball, in terms of the ratings, it's not great, but it's
made for TV.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it's not losing money. I mean, baseball is making more money than it's ever been making. You know what I mean? I think it's always making more money.
But that's because of TV, in spite of TV. That's where they make all their money. That's why they re-upped on a $53 million contract. Every major sports network has a piece of Major League Baseball now, after this year, starting this year. They're making more money off TV than others. Well, how do you think the Rays and the Cubs and the Pirates pay the light bills? It's certainly not asses in the seats. It's the TV money. It's the share.
Yeah,
it's the revenue sharing. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Baseball fundamentally doesn't work because they don't appeal to the youth. If they would focus, first of all, on a commercial of kids, just kids, at a baseball game, catching a foul ball or a home run and being excited about it, show more people diving on the berm for home runs, show that, and say, this is going to be your experience at the baseball game. You're going to get a ball. Let's face it, we all go to a game and think, well, what the hell if a ball comes my way? And mentally in the back of your head, you're thinking, I'm going to catch that son of a bitch. I'm going to get me a ball.
Mm-hmm.
You did that in baseball because they got tons of balls. You get to keep a ball. And it is kind of a moment where, oh, yeah, I caught a foul ball. Yeah, that's cool. So that's what they want to put in your mind. But Major League Baseball doesn't do that. What do? They're dogging the sport. All you hear in the news right now about baseball is steroids and Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Do you want to go watch steroids and Alex Rodriguez? No. You might want to hackle him for one game, but it's old after one game. You can get on Twitter.
I wouldn't even want to hackle him. Like you said, I just want to see the home run.
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, like I said, when I was a kid growing up in Oakland, you know, we had the Bash Brothers there, and me, baseball is the greatest thing on earth, you know, being able to go and see Canseco and McGuire hit home runs out of the stadium every day. You know, I used to love baseball, and it's like, you know, and it's, you know, Matt's telling the truth, you know, it's like, that's not, you know, even though that was, you know, headline, you know, area one for steroids, but that's not there anymore. You know, it used to be so fun going to go watch baseball games and just, you know, action, and, you know, and it's like, you know, but it's not there anymore. You know, they tear down the baseball heroes so quick, you know, with this whole steroid scandal. And, you know, and then, you know, and then now that, you know, now that our throws are starting to be able to make it to the Hall of Fame, and you got these Hall of Fame voters that are being buttholes and not voting in, Clemens and Bonds, and so you know, it's just they're literally
baseball purists. Baseball purists,
and that's what it is. These purists are ruining the sport for everybody.
It's not even purists.
Like I say, it's really sad. I used to love baseball, dude, and it's like. You could not.
That's what
like I say, you should. Both my grandfathers worked at the Oakland, you know, at the arena, at the stadium, and you couldn't get me to go watch a baseball game right now. You know, especially like for nine innings, I would have to be so drunk. I'm planning
my best friend's bachelor party right now, and we're thinking about maybe renting out a luxury box.
First of all, luxury box for baseball are elegant.
Hey.
Nobody goes to games. And it's like,
if you're playing
like,
a bachelor party,
like,
you need to come down here, and we need to hit up Tootsie's in Miami. That's the bachelor party.
Yeah, Paul George will tell you that because he got
that's,
one of them.
That's
pregnant.
How you roll the bachelor party, Tootsie's cabin, my friend.
Are you serious?
I'm putting you on point.
I don't know.
Big
giveaway. I think too, because of the revenue. I don't think that they. Have, I mean, is there really any initiative for them to change baseball because they're making so much money? I mean.
Felix out 2015, January 1st, 2015, Bud's gone. So it depends on the next commissioner. As you've seen, the most popular part of the All-Star game is the home run derby. But the ratings are even they're not that great for the home run derby anymore because you don't get the best players necessarily in it. You get Cano, but really – Who looks at Robinson Cano as a home run guy? He hits some home runs, but he's not Alex Rodriguez, you know? You get Big Poppy in there. Yeah, you want to see him in there because, you know, he's probably roided up. And who cares? But he's hitting home runs.
Exactly.
I mean, who would you rather have on your – do you want Big Poppy on your team or do you want Robinson Cano?
Yeah.
It's no con. I mean, you know, think about it. It's like who, you know, there's no really, you know, they tear down the heroes. I mean, who, you know, there's no King Griffey no more. I mean, I would watch games just to see King Griffey swing because he has the best swing I've ever seen in my life. You know, and that just doesn't exist anymore. Like I said, baseball. You know, I hope this next commissioner. I hope he's not going to be another Felix clone, but. You know, I don't know. Like I said, that's, you know, it's going to be interesting to talk to have. But let's move into our NFL subject because we're starting to get into the second hour here. And we do have the biggest game of the year to talk
about.
Hold on,
Matt. Hold on real quick. Hey, Matt, I got to put you on hold here. I got to put James on, all right?
That's cool. Okay, I got to get back to something else I was working on.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't like the way you paused before you said something else you're working on. What are you doing, Matt?
He had to do something. I had to put James on, man. Oh, James, you got something to say real quick?
Nah, I'm going to the whole Super Bowl thing first.
Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. All right, what's up? All right, you can talk. Callie Mike, you can go ahead.
Okay, let's get to our show. Back into our show part talking about the Super Bowl, biggest game of the year. We had the Denver Broncos playing against the Seattle Seahawks in New York, the biggest city in the world. Well, not the biggest city in the world anymore, but you know. And we had the Seahawks kicking the crap out of Denver. Now, some of us on this panel are right. And some of us
are
wrong.
The Seahawks kicked Denver. You know what? Yeah, they did. You're right.
I want to start with the wrong people first. Jamal.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Oh.
What happened with the Broncos, Jamal?
Man, they just, you know, they got stomped. All that was, they got beat down. I wasn't expecting what happened, not like this, you know. I picked them to win. Usually I'll make a bet on a game like this. I stayed away from that this year.
Oh, man, you're breaking up, yo.
Huh?
I heard him.
You're breaking up a little bit.
I am? No, I was saying that, you know, something, you know, I'll place a bet sometimes, but yeah, I kind of stayed away from it. While I did pick Denver, I just kind of, you know, stayed away from it this year because I thought it had a chance to be close. I thought if Denver wins, I didn't think it would be close. And again, I still thought they were going to win, but if Seattle won, I didn't think it was going to be close, but I didn't think it was going to be 46-8. I mean, you know, I didn't see that. I didn't, you know, no, and nobody saw it, but Jason Whitlock.
Yeah.
So
at the heart of this game, it seemed to be a battle between the Pac-10 players of Seattle versus the
SEC players
of Denver Broncos. Clausell, what do you think about
that? Are you kidding me?
No.
Are you freaking kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? Who's the Pac-10? You talking about Marshawn Lynch? Oh, my God,
Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman, Pete Carroll.
Hey, you know Russell Wilson's from you know Russell Wilson's from my side. Russell, hold on. Pete Carroll, he coached at USC. He ain't no USC. He wasn't born in California. What are you talking about? Russell Wilson's from our side. You know that, right? You know that, right?
Percy
Harvin? Where did Percy Harvin go to school at? Didn't he have a touchdown return? He returned for a touchdown?
You know what they call the Seattle Seahawks? You know what they call the Seattle Seahawks? USC Northwest. That's what they call them. They do.
Richard Sherman went to USC.
Cam
Chandler went to USC. The guy from Texas, did he go to USC? What's his name?
They
went to USC?
Justice was finally served. Peyton Manning and O'Shawn Moreno from the SEC got their butt kicked, and I'm glad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. one of the best players on your team is an SEC player. You know that, right? Percy Harvin. You know that, right? Did you know that?
Did you know that? That really did matter.
Yeah, but did he do something in the Super Bowl?
Somebody else did that. But anyway,
SEC is the best.
The tone of this game, it's interesting how a game can change. And the beginning of this game, starting off with that safety, I mean, to me, that just set the whole tone for the Broncos to lose. I mean, I've seen games change like this before. And you know, it just seems like it only takes like one mistake, and it can, like I say, did you guys kind of get that feeling like once that safety happened and the look on Peyton Manning's face, it was like, oh man, this is
trouble. When it was 5-0, that's when I'm like, oh boy, you know.
I mean, have you ever seen that look on Manning's face before? It was like, He was looking
at that. I've never seen it like that. I mean, I've seen him flop a whole bunch of times, and I know Watley's going to come on here and let us know. It's just at the same time, Tex, I know you guys are going to argue in a minute, but he was right a little bit.
No, I'm not debating if he you know what, Clausel, I don't make predictions to be right. You know what I do get pissed off at? Is if somebody tries to tell me about a player, because I feel like I know players, especially guys coming out of college, and if I'm wrong about something like that, that's when I get mad. But I offer a prediction, so what? Just a prediction. And if I was right, I don't care.
I mean, you gave great analysis. You gave great analysis like you always do. You gave great analysis. I'm just saying, yeah. But what I'm saying is I'm just saying he's right in a sense of Peyton Manning. When the big game shows up, and that's what this game really indicated to me and the rest of America, and we already had a suspicion of that anyway, but it just sort of confirmed it, that, you know, when the big lights are showing on Peyton Manning, he just folds. He freaking folds, man. Like you said, after that safety, just something just happened with Peyton Manning. He went back to like he just went back to Peyton Manning at Florida when he played Florida.
I was going to say, though, I mean, that was a routine, man.
The look that he had on his face to me was kind of like that look that Donovan McNabb had on his face in the Super Bowl. You remember that look? When McNabb was just like, what the hell? You know?
I don't even remember that look, to be honest with you.
McNabb had that same look. I'm telling you, dude. And it was like, wow, mate, Peyton has that look on his face. They're about to lose. You know, and it's like, I mean, even when he, you know, like I said, when he did the safety and he audibled, it's like, dude, why the hell are you audibling? Just run this, you know, get this play out the way. You know, and it's like, you know,
it just, you know, then the interceptions, which were both, you know, both of them were bad throws. You know, it was, I don't know. I mean, I can't.
Well, you know what? On the first one, he just felt pressure from the strong side. He actually had another, I mean, he could even take it off and run on that first one. He had, and Thomas was open. You just, you know, you're feeling pressure, and he made a bad throw. On the second one, I guess they hit him, and he got tipped in the air. And you know what? You want to see Knowshon Moreno make a little bit of a better effort to try to be a defender on the ball. I mean, you know, he just didn't go.
Sure.
Just stood there, you know, go to the ball. That's what they coach you to do.
I got something to say, too, when y'all get done saying what Peyton Manning should do next.
I know Tony's going to come on here and rip Peyton a new one. but, I mean, honestly, I can't put it all on Peyton because they did put up 40-something points. I mean, the Broncos look bad, dude. You know, I want to say that.
It's
an
ass whooping.
Hold up.
But you know what, Mike? You know what, Mike? When the game flowed, when it was in the flow of the game, their offense didn't come up with anything. Broncos defense held for a long time.
Well, like I said, yeah. You guys know I've always been suspect of Knowshon Moreno all year. Even when he was seemingly decent, I don't think that dude's I believe in what LeSean McCoy said. That dude sucks. You know.
Yeah, he benefited from his quarterback. Moreno benefited from his quarterback.
And also, you know, I want to speak to the fact that I think that Pete Carroll is an underrated coach once again. You know, now that he got a Super Bowl, now what people are going to say now?
And also, Mike, they were talking about how, you know, I was listening on the radio the other day, how Carroll kind of shaped up New England. He brought those players like, you know, Brewski and Willie McGinnis, those type of players. And you've been saying it, yeah.
I got something to say real quick.
No, I was just gonna, you know, like I said, I was just gonna, you know, say I think that, you know, he's an underrated coach. I mean, for all his faults, everybody says faults. Now he got a you know, NCAA national championship, and he got a Super Bowl ring. You know how many coaches?
Well, football
history can say that.
Yeah, that's true.
Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer too.
Yep, them the only
three.
Two other ones.
That's about it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I got something to say real quick, though. I think I'm going to take a page from Skip Bayless, and I know James is about to laugh, and I'm about to put him on next. y'all probably going to disagree with me, too. But what Peyton Manning needs to do is something very similar to what LeBron James did in going from Cleveland to Miami. LeBron James knew that he couldn't win a championship in Cleveland, so he had to team up with another superstar. A superstar, not a star, but a superstar, in order to get his championship. So what Peyton Manning needs to do is he needs to get a superstar to come to Denver, or a few superstars that will go to a team with a few superstars to win another championship. That's how he's going to do it, because he can't lead a team to a championship. That's how I look at it with Peyton Manning. He cannot lead the team to a championship because when the game's on the line, he can't deliver.
I kind of agree with you, but football and basketball, too. I mean, who could he get? Adrian Peterson?
I mean, he could have went to San Francisco. I think San Francisco has a better roster defensively, offensively.
Oh, you mean,
than,
you mean where
Denver?
You mean places where he could have went when he left?
Yeah, a place that already has.
Honestly, I think Denver was the best place for him. I mean, you got a strong offensive line, and you got young wide. I mean, I think that they just came up against a team that has something for him. But I mean, Denver is a good fit for Peyton. You know, Peyton's an old dude. You got to get a good old line behind in front of that man. You know, and Denver got probably the best offensive line. I mean, you got to look how good they are without Clady. You know, who's probably the best lineman in football. You know?
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, hey, you never know. Maybe his agent can try to work out a deal where he can change places with Russell Wilson. You know.
Where are you getting this from? That ain't happening.
Denver to me, Denver.
I'm getting this from the top of my head. Out of the top of my head, Jack. That's where I'm getting
it
from.
If that was maybe a goal somewhere with that BS, man.
You know,
he can just stay in Denver. That's the one thing.
Look at how Percy.
He won't win a championship in Denver. I don't think he will.
For Seattle, you know.
I mean, you got that Super Bowl, man.
Clauzel, you gotta look at it. He doesn't really have to play in the NFC, which is deep, which is a gauntlet. In the NFC West, we ain't even going to get on that. Out of third place team goes 10-6. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And how the Rams field a team and compete with all three of the other teams in the NFC East. But in the AFC is so weak, of course he can stay in Denver and probably get back again. Who's threatening in the AFC?
I think in that AFC West, though, it's a three-team battle.
No. Well, just New England. As to where in Seattle, Carolina, San Fran, Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers. The Cardinals, if they get a quarterback, they're a quarterback away. The Rams are a quarterback away. You got New Orleans.
Yep.
Falcons will bounce back. You know, and so it's deep in the NFC.
I thought Carson Palmer did pretty good, though, Tex.
Let me bring on James here. Hey. And then we got you next, Wiley. I got you next, Wiley. What's good?
I'm gonna put the Super Bowl in a few ways, right? Number one, we got to give credit to the whole Seattle defense because they shut Denver down all across the board. They did not let anything in front of them. Most of the passes by Peyton Manning were like about 5 to 7 yards, and the receivers got lit up. And they couldn't run the ball worth a lick. They only like ran the ball about 5 or 6 times the whole game, especially in the first half. That's one. Number two, the Seattle offense pretty much could do anything they wanted, especially in the first half. There were a lot of cases where they had like third down, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9, and they were still able to convert against Denver, right? And one of the big things about the Denver Broncos during the season, like when San Diego beat them at Safeco, was that they kept the ball away from the offense. So Seattle was able to do the same thing, right? Number three was, special teams is dominated by Seattle, too. I mean, we don't even have to talk about Percy Harvin, but, even when Denver was getting the ball, they couldn't really get past, the 20-yard line once they kicked got the ball, too. So they were flying down the field on all sides of the ball. So it's not like necessarily you can put the game, blaming the game on one person, because blowouts don't necessarily mean that one person had a bad game. You know what I mean?
I agree. Like I said, they were saying, I wouldn't put that on, of course, the media, because it's Peyton Manning, the quarterback, was all about him. But, it was a team. They just got their ass beat. Seattle punched them in the mouth, and they wouldn't let up. They was kicking their ass. You got to give Seattle, I was wrong with my pick. You got to give that credit for their defense. They was physical. They secondary was physical with Denver's receivers and tight ends, and I heard they was calling afterwards. They said they think Julian Thomas is soft. They was physical with no boys. Eric Decker only had one catch, and he's a free agent, and they talking about Denver's not sure they're going to be able to resign him, so he didn't make no impact in that game. All Seattle's defense, man, and Russell Wilson, he had a nice solid game as well. They was able to score points. And also, I was wrong about Percy Harvin. Everybody kept talking about Percy Harvin. Yeah, he's going to see something for him. He's going to do something. I didn't think he was going to do anything. I thought, he missed most of the season being hurt. And then you saw when he came back playing in that New Orleans game, he got hit real good and he got a concussion. I'm like, man, this is Super Bowl, man. He ain't going to do nothing. I was wrong about that when he had did that kickoff return for the touchdown. So Seattle was just a better team that day, man.
All right, let me try to get on Watley here as soon as this thing. Hey, James, I'm going to put Watley on.
Yeah.
All right, here you go. Watley.
Papa John's? Is this Papa John's? Hold up, Papa John's. Is this the Papa John's where Peyton Manning worked, the one that's on the television? Yeah, I like to order a large Papa John's pizza. I want to have some statistics on it. I want to have some analysis on it. I want to have some tears on it, and I want to have some excuses on it. Also, on the side, can I get a side order of Buffalo Crow wings? Because these niggas about to eat it. Let's
Why
do
did
this.
You put him on, Clavel?
Let's do this.
Hey, he's your host. He's
Let's
fucking cute, man.
Let's
he was
do
right.
This. Let's do this. Let's do this. Wait, wait, wait. Before y'all even start, let me start by saying, I put the show on every one of y'all Facebook page where in the preseason, before the season starts, my exact words were, the Seattle Seahawks will win the Super Bowl. That was my exact words. And then, later on in the show, I said, Peyton Manning will have a great season. He will get in the playoffs, and he will fold. That was my exact word.
Let me tell you guys about Tony Watley real quick. Tony Watley says about three things that are true, but then he'll mix in a lie in between there. What he put on our Facebook pages was he put that he did predict that Seattle go to the Super Bowl, yes. But then he put that we all laughed at him, which nobody did if you go back and listen to the tape. We all said, oh,
every
okay,
one of you was like, what? Huh?
Let
what?
Him finish. Let him
nobody,
finish, Wiley. Let him finish.
That,
what he
so y'all agreed that Seattle was going, right? Come on, Callie Mike.
No,
tell me how much you agreed with me in that show.
I had Seattle on the NFC Championship. I know I did tell you that too, Mike. I said, and I said Seattle, I think we're gonna probably win a division. And I wasn't sold on your Niners because Crabtree being hurt, being out, I didn't think he was gonna come back this year.
I mean, yes, you pick Seattle. I mean, okay, there's maybe only three teams that could possibly make it to the NFC, make it to the
Super
Bowl.
Okay, that ain't the point. You can try your best to figure it out, but even though there were three teams, you didn't pick one of them.
Hey, Tony.
So, you know, he
picked them in the
ball.
He picked them away.
And talking in hindsight, but in hindsight,
I picked Seattle too.
I know somebody sitting there saying, no, you said New England was going to go. It doesn't matter who they played. I said Seattle was going to win the Super Bowl. I don't care who they played. I said they were going to win the Super Bowl.
They did. I say this, so
Tony, and you told me I did it.
You said Florida State was going to be Florida too. You said Florida was going to be Florida State too. You remember?
Yeah. I got the NCAA all wrong. I'll give you that.
I say this though, Tony. You only doubted Seattle once though. I didn't doubt Denver all season. Remember that time we had that argument? We kept telling you about St. Louis. You said if Seattle play like this against St. Louis, they're not going to do anything. And we kept telling you that St. Louis is a formidable opponent. They got a good defense, and Seattle. That division, baby, is not going to get any easier, man. That NFC West, I say this on the record. I say this on the record right now. The NFC West is going to be the hardest division in the NFL. That division is stacked, man. It's stacked.
Listen, for me, what I'm trying to make y'all understand is this is the NFL. This ain't college football. It is almost impossible for a team to go undefeated. So just because week for week I may not be for the team that I think is going to go to the Super Bowl does not mean that I don't think that team is going to go and win the Super Bowl. Week for week, every team is going to lose a game, and some teams are going to be outmatched in the NFL. This is not a college football where a team that has to go undefeated to be in the national championship.
Can we talk about the Super Bowl? Just because there's one or two games out of 16
where I can say Seattle didn't look like they were going to be the team to beat, that's because the NFL is not the NCAA. I still said from the beginning and all the way through to the end that Seattle Seahawks was going to win the Super Bowl. No one can deny that. Who can deny I said that from start to finish?
No, I mean.
You said it.
So, I mean, what's your take on, like the game? I mean, what's your take on the game?
Well, I talked on Matt show last night, and I'm gonna be honest with you, and this is a an honest analysis. The game was over right after the very first safety. Why? Because Peyton Manning is a cerebral athlete. He is not a physical athlete. He's not a runner. He's not a hitter. He is a thinker. And he had prepared himself for this football game to go a certain way. And when they snapped that ball over his head, because the one thing you got to watch there is what he was standing in his position. He broke his position and started to walk up to his snapper, and that's when the snapper snapped it over his head. So right there was a disconnect. And right there, in his mind, things went wrong. And when you are a thinker and you play the game through your intellect and you have already started having doubts and started doubting yourself, it's downhill from there. The next thing you know, he threw an interception, he started throwing bad plays, and it was over. In his mind, he had lost because he lost his focus, he lost his concentration, and he wasn't on his game. And the offense showed it from the snap of the safety on. Peyton Manning mentally had already lost the game.
I mean, I agree with that.
And
yeah, I agree
I mean,
with
that. That's just the way I see it with Peyton Manning. And like I said, the reason why I say this about Peyton Manning, and, you know, you guys keep talking about certain things. I'm not a stats guy. I'm not a guy that watches ESPN and listens to the analysts. I'm not a guy that sits and reads stories about this player and that player. I'm a guy that sits down on Sundays, grabs me a soda, grabs me some popcorn and some wings, and I watch football all day long. And I watch every team, and I watch what they do. And that's how I say, that's a good team, that's not a good team, that's a good player, that's not a good player. And I've been watching Peyton Manning since he was 18 years old. And that's how I can always tell you what he's going to do in the crunch, is because I've watched that man 100 football games. And in every single time he gets in the crunch, he does the exact same thing. And I don't give a damn what his stats are. I don't care if he's 99 for 100. That 100th throw is the one that matters, and it's the one that kills him every time. So, you know, you can focus on the 99. I focus on the one that gave him the L instead of the W.
My goodness.
Valid. I mean, he said it's valid. He said, hey, you can have all the stats. He could be 29 for 30, 400 yards, and the score 45-44. Seattle Seahawks beat the Broncos. And he said, it's all about the W.
If he threw that interception so that they got that 47, it doesn't matter if he had 500 yards receiving. If he threw the interception that cost him the game, he had a bad game. I guarantee when he goes home, that's how he sees it. I guarantee
Wiley,
50 years from now, when he's about to die and they ask him a memory of that game, he ain't going to remember them 500 yards. He's going to remember that interception.
And Wiley, you know what? And not to make a pivot here, and I'm still on Peyton Manning. That's why when Carolina needed Cam in the second half of the playoffs, Cam didn't deliver. And that's why when Florida State needed Winston to deliver in the fourth quarter, he delivered.
Oh my goodness!
But he won though. He's a champion though. He won though.
He delivered.
He delivered though, man.
When the game on the line, he delivered. You can't deny that. You can't deny that.
How did we get back on the freshman?
Clauzel, you just pulled that
right
out of your butt, dude.
No. What
do you mean I pulled
that out?
I'm telling the truth.
you had that special teams run back for that touchdown that put them back in the game, because without that special team run back for that touchdown, they wouldn't even still been in the game. Then
no, they were
you
down
had him
two
throw a
left.
Two-yard pass, and you had the two defenders run into each other, and he ran all the way down the field, and that put them within touchdown range. Had they
who
tackled
the
that man right there, your superhero would have looked like Duck B. Duck.
Oh, so who gave him the ball? What are you talking about?
Are we comparing national?
But anyway, I'm back on Peyton Manning.
I get his analogy. He's talking about a champion. It's for college Super Bowl anyway.
But my point was, again, I don't do my analysis from watching ESPN. I don't do my analysis from going on to a statistics page and looking at somebody's statistics. I watch football teams, and I see passion, and I see when someone is doing what they need to do when they need to do it. I see when someone's not doing what they need to do when they need to do it. And that's how I say who the good teams
are. That's a bunch of BS. That's a bunch of BS, because I told him about J.J. Watt, and he shoved that off. You know what I'm saying?
And
so
that's why I tell you, as long as Tony Romo is the quarterback at Dallas,
hey,
they
wait a second. Who's
the
hey, see, that's the thing. I'm a fan of football first, and I'm a fan of the Cowboys a distant second. You keep talking to me like I'm a Tony Romo guy. You keep talking to me like I like I'm a Tony Romo guy.
Tex, I ain't even talking to you. What you talking about?
All right, please. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Who here is a Tony Romo guy?
Tony Watley is the same person who said that he watches football games. He's the same guy that told us that University of Florida was going to beat Florida State. But he watched
football games. That was his heart. That was his heart.
He didn't believe what came out of his mouth. He didn't believe one word of that.
I knew from 3 games into the loss column that the Florida Gators was going to have a bad season. But do you think that's going to change my passion for being a Gator? I am a Florida Gator, and I'm going to be with
well,
them until they die. I don't care if they lose every game. I'm still
going to
say
I mean, who's
going to
take your opinion
game.
Seriously then? If you have a bias towards a certain a team, who's going to take your opinion serious then?
Exactly.
But the thing is, I didn't. You know, once we realized that
exactly.
Florida was not going to be in the SEC championship, you didn't hear me saying the Florida Gators were going to be national champions. I'm not going to stay on.
Yes, you were.
I'm not going to just wait.
Tony, 3 weeks.
You said it was
going to win it all when they've lost 3 games. Common sense would tell me you lose more than one game in the NCAA,
you
ain't going to the national championship.
It was like 5 weeks.
So no matter how much I continue to support my team, if you ask me who's going to be the national champion, I ain't going to say the Florida Gators when I know that's a lie.
It was like 5 weeks before the season was over. You were trying to figure out who would lose, who could lose and put Florida into the place to go to the SEC championship. And then you started saying whoever the SEC champion is.
I thought we were talking about the NFL. How did we get off on NCAA?
Yeah, there you go.
Now
he wants to change subject.
Exactly.
Can we get back to the NFL?
So
yeah, we can get back to the NFL.
Tony, okay, just verify this. About 5 weeks before the season
NFL.
Was over, weren't you trying to figure out who could lose to go Florida and the place to go to the SEC championship?
NFL.
So you know,
I don't think I know a team in the NFL.
Yes, he was.
Florida.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Okay.
Mike, he did.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to
know. I don't know of a team in the NFL named Florida.
I don't know of a team in the NCAA one division named Georgia Southern, but that team still beat the Florida Gators.
I don't know a team in the NFL named Florida.
I'm surprised that Muschamp survived his job by them getting beat by Georgia Southern, by the way.
And, you know, again, like I said, the way that I looked at the whole season was the season before. That's just like all of us right now can look at how the teams played, and we can go ahead right now and say who we think the top four teams are going to be, top two in each division. And then we'll Right now, I'm telling you, I see San Francisco, Green Bay, and Seattle being the top three teams in the East, in the West. I see New England, Denver, and the Steelers being the top three teams in the East.
The Steelers.
No, right, the Steelers.
You heard me say it.
We haven't even run through free agency. We haven't
exactly.
even gotten to the draft.
Hey, Tony,
you know,
he's talking about, bro,
you know,
Tony,
if that's really the way you feel, take your money to Vegas, man. I mean, it's
like
February.
I'm already on the record. Don't be on the record, man.
Take it to Vegas.
He don't even have to take his money to Vegas. I'll take his money. I'll take those bets right now, Tony. I'll bet you that the Steelers are not going to be one of the top three teams in the league. I'll bet you that right now.
I said top three teams in the AFC.
Okay, they won't be that.
Get it right.
Okay, I agree.
Get it right.
They won't be that either. Let's bet.
Get it right. What I said
okay,
to you
I
is
I agree.
Top 16
I agree. They won't be any of that.
Okay,
AFC is wide open.
Listen to me. The Pittsburgh Steelers will win the AFC North next year. And when they win the AFC North next year, Denver will win the AFC West, New England will win the AFC East, and the Indianapolis Colts will win the AFC South.
That means they'll already be fourth best already.
I'm listening to you. I'm on the record already. Y'all talking all this shit. This is a week after the Super Bowl, and I'm already on the record.
That's letting you know how crazy you are.
I don't need no drafts. I don't need no stats. I don't need no bull crap from ESPN. I know what the best teams in the AFC are, and I know what the best teams in the NFC are, and I know what team is going to be there on both sides.
Yo, nobody here looking at ESPN getting stats. I don't even know what half the people on there look like. That's how much I look at ESPN. Can we just at least get through an off season or training camp before we start making predictions?
Like I said, I don't need no training camps or off season.
In other words, you guys, that means he's making random guesses based on crap.
Okay.
I'm not making nothing right now because the season's over. We got to see what free agency happens in the draft. If Seattle got some free agents, Seattle got some.
Y'all said the same thing at the beginning of 2013, and my crap seems to have be holding the Lombardi Trophy right now.
Man,
my crap seems to be holding the Lombardi Trophy today.
February. You know what about?
I picked Seattle to win the Super Bowl too, Tony. You know that, right?
Oh yeah. Now, Clauzel, you with me because you said what I said, Clauzel. Defense wins championship.
Yeah.
And you went with the Seattle Seahawks with me, and I totally agree with your analysis of what was going to happen in the Super Bowl. You craziness about how good the offense was when we kept telling them it's defense that wins championship.
Yeah.
Hold on, Tex. I'm going to follow up on that.
It's been a decade and 1 year since we've seen a defense win a Super Bowl, and that was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of 2002. So from 2002 to now 2013, that's all he did after.
We had the same argument before the Super Bowl, me and Clauzel were saying, if you look at every Super Bowl champion, they had a good defense. Every one of them. They may have not been the best defense in that year, but they had a good defense, and it was their defense that won the game.
All right. Damn. How many offensive players from the Dallas Cowboys dynasty are in the Hall of Fame compared to defense?
Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, because you're talking about defense.
No, why do you always keep running to the damn stats in the Hall of Fame? Nobody cares about the Hall of Fame. We're talking about football.
We're talking about championship.
We don't care about who in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Congratulations to them.
When you don't know anything, you start screaming.
You know what?
I
won, and I know you lost.
Yeah, okay.
I know that.
Oh, I tell you what, and what was
I know that.
What you gotta say?
I don't even care to be right or wrong. Like I said, my thing is
you
my
can't
thing
care to be right or wrong. Come on,
Wiley, let him finish.
Hold on, wrong again. Nailed so many prop bets this past Super Bowl. It's ridiculous, man. All right, but anyways, like I said, I'm all about the players. You know, I'm gonna make my judgment on what team I think is gonna win. And while we're not talking about college, I think I was the one to pick Florida to do well the year before, and I'm on the record with that. And I wonder where you had them then. But anyways, you look at the Super Bowl champions since 1990, and I just want to know how many teams had Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Oh, wow.
How many of these Super Bowl winning teams had Hall of Fame quarterbacks?
Who gives a damn? We're talking about defenses. When did Hall of Fame quarterbacks come into this?
Hey, Claudel, what is this, man?
We are talking about the good defense.
Wiley,
how the hell did we get a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Wiley, you got to let him finish. You got to let him finish speaking. Let him say his case, and you can say your case.
The Cowboys with that dynasty, you know, they come through with a Hall of Fame quarterback. Here come the Packers in the 49ers with a Hall of Fame quarterback. The Broncos, a Hall of Fame quarterback. Yeah, Kurt Warner, winning Super Bowls. Brady got three of them. You want to attach defense wins championships to everything, but when somebody says, look at the teams that are winning and what they have in common, most of the time are the signal callers. You look at that and you want to call it stats. No, we talking players. And then, yes, defense does win championships. When you're the 85 Bears, when you're the 2000 Ravens, you're the 2002 Buccaneers, and it looks like the 2013 Seahawks and the 2008 Steelers. You understand?
Okay, so you're going to tell me that the 2012 Ravens defense wasn't the reason why the Ravens was in the Super Bowl? You gonna tell me why the 2012 Ravens wasn't the reason why the Ravens won the Super Bowl?
Wow.
Joe Flacco, Tony.
Tony, did you watch Joe Flacco in the playoffs, bro?
It's okay. It's all right.
What I'm saying to you is you saying most of the time they got great Hall of Fame quarterbacks. What I'm saying to you is every time they got a good defense, every time. Why? Because defense wins championships.
The Ravens defense wasn't that good last year, Tony.
Are you kidding me? The Ravens defense is why they got to the Super Bowl.
They got
to
the
Flacco. They got them to the Super Bowl.
They should have lost it. Your voice was Joe Flacco. They would have got to the Super Bowl. You forgot what he did to Denver?
Oh,
you know
my
what?
Goodness.
There was one.
Hey, you probably
there was one.
Behind her. Y'all just yelling.
Yo, there was one. I've only seen one quarterback be better than what Joe Flacco was in one postseason, and that was Joe Montana in a year. Otherwise, I've never seen a quarterback play like Joe Flacco played this past postseason.
That dude was off the hook.
But last
year,
no interceptions.
I've never seen a quarterback play as good as he played besides Montana in the 80s for a year. Never.
So you still saying right now that it was the Ravens offense in 2012 that took them to the Super Bowl?
Yes, we already said that.
Of course.
Y'all all don't fail and bump y'all's head.
No, because the Raven defense had a year off. It was because you look at the Ravens offense, they were actually putting up points. It was like, what the hell is going on?
They sitting here scoring points. The defense can't stop nobody. It was more like an anomaly. It was so different. It was the other way around.
All you
know?
Have to do,
wow.
And
then they come
look
back.
The Ravens had a
better defense this year. And then the offense
yep.
stinks. Look where they at.
Look at who the Ravens re-signed in the offseason. Look who they released. That's all that to tell you is who was better.
Yeah, and lose Anquan Boldin.
Henry got his ass released.
So, Clauzel, you ain't going to defend the fact that defense wins championships? Because all these other
guys.
Yeah,
I still think it's defense. I still think it's defense.
Team up with you, Tony.
No, I still think it's defense and running game. You still have to have a defense and a running game. To that's what you need to win a championship. Now, I mean, there are anomalies.
Quarterback.
I mean, yeah, I see what you're saying. What I'm saying is, I don't think you need a quarterback. I think you need
Trent Dilfer.
A
Hello.
Defense
yes,
and a running
do.
Game. I don't think
yes,
you need
you
a quarterback.
We had this argument before. I remember us having the same argument at FAMU.
What I'm saying is, like, those teams that won the Super Bowls, like those 49ers teams, those Cowboys teams, they had good quarterback play, but they definitely had a great defense and a great running
game.
Great
defense.
All
of them
had
great quarterback play. They had great
defenses
and
great running games that particular year.
Okay,
they
so
had,
you
going
to tell me that Eli Manning was having great quarterback play in both of his Super Bowl wins?
Yes, he was.
Eli Manning
absolutely
was
not. It was the New York
Eli
defense
so
that got
Eli
there,
Manning.
And it was the New York defense that won it.
Oh, my goodness.
Eli Manning is not a great quarterback. He is
not, I agree. He's above average.
He's
above average
is
quarterback.
Not a great quarterback. He is on
no,
a team
Eli
with
Manning,
a great defense.
Eli Manning.
Their defense was good, but it wasn't great.
San Fran in San Fran. Taking the ball down the field.
Eli Manning is not why the New England Patriots beat the undefeated Eli Manning is not the reason why the New York Giants beat the undefeated New England Patriots.
All right.
He is not
the
reason. The
Giants had a great – it was the pass rush for the Giants. They had a great pass rush.
Thank you. It is not.
They had a great pass
that
rush.
Is not how they got to the
but
Super Bowl.
I'm not saying
Bowl.
Eli Manning. Eli was on that postseason.
Eli
was
Manning.
On.
They got
hold
to
on,
the Super
I'm
Bowl
is,
because of that defense.
It, I'm saying
was
it was
not
both.
Eli
that's what I'm
Manning.
Saying. It was both.
And neither one
but,
of those
but
Super
Eli
Bowls
played
they
well.
Won, did they win because of Eli Manning.
Hold on.
Okay.
But this is my saying. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying that quarterback play helps. What I'm saying is you don't need – That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm trying to get you guys to see. It's
Five
like what you need to win.
You
the
don't
Super
need
Bowl.
It 15% of the time.
Fazell, that's the case.
You need a defense to win a Super Bowl. You
Fazell,
need any ED.
Fazell, if that was the case, why the Baltimore Ravens didn't win any more Super Bowls than they had? And their defense was pretty good for a good while, and they only won. I'm not going to count last year. Only count one. Only one Super Bowl. Only one Super Bowl, Clauzel.
Dominant for about
who,
10
Tampa?
Years. They were dominant for 10 years.
Yeah, but they didn't have a running game. Like I said, you need defense and you need a running game.
They didn't have.
I mean,
so
I
tell
mean,
me
it's
why
the
running
game was all right.
Back in NFL history does not have a Super Bowl. Dan Marino. Tell me why the greatest quarterback in Super Bowl history right now, Peyton Manning, can't win the big one. If it's all about the great quarterback, why do two
had.
Of the greatest quarterbacks ever not have the ring?
Oh, you can ask Tom Brady, you can ask Drew Brees, you can ask Aaron Rodgers.
No, they got rings. I said, tell me why two of the greatest ever, Peyton Manning and Dan Marino, why they can't get over the hump if they're so great. If they're the greatest quarterback this league has ever seen, why don't they have Super Bowls?
He's got a ring, too.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Okay, you got to think about these great teams that had great offenses, because this happens almost every year in football. You usually have a team that is very good offensively. You have a team that's very good offensively, but when they get to the playoffs and they face a good defense, they can't handle it. That happens almost every year in football. So what I'm saying is, my point is, you have a great offense, But in terms of what you need a great defense.
I didn't say a great offense.
And you need
I said
a great
quarterback. I said quarterback.
Okay, Jim Kelly is
I don't think you need a quarterback. I don't think you need one. I just think you need
a
defense.
You don't get it.
Why not?
You don't get it. I mean,
why
hey, they could have.
I want to bring James on.
Jim Kelly lost to a Hall of Fame quarterback in Troy Aikman two times.
Okay, but what you're saying is his Hall of Fame credentials wasn't as good as Troy Aikman's. Because I promise you, Jim Kelly was as good, if not better, a quarterback than Troy Aikman, and I'll put that on the record. Look at the stats.
That's a bunch of bull.
Look at the stats.
Look at the stats. Oh, all right. Oh, anyway.
Hold on, Tex. What you about to tell me? What you about to tell me, Tex? What you about to tell me?
Clauzel, you look at why coaches get fired. You know why they always get fired? Because they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, I get it.
And Tony, you know what Mike Tomlin said when he came to Pittsburgh? And he got over. I have a quarterback. I don't have to worry about that. I got a franchise quarterback.
Wait a second.
Jim Kelly was a better quarterback than Dallas quarterback.
Tony, I thought you wasn't about stats, and you sitting here talking about stats with Jim.
No,
Kelly.
y'all want to talk about Hall of Fame quarterbacks? They're both Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but I guarantee you, when you look at the teams, the Buffalo Bills of the 80s or whenever that was, they went to four Super Bowls, those teams offensively were better than the Dallas Cowboys. The reason why Dallas won those Super Bowls was not because of their Hall of Fame quarterback. It was because of their Hall of Fame defense.
Their offense was good.
I see what you're saying, but I think Troy Aikman was just the ultimate game manager. I think he was just the ultimate game manager.
All quarterbacks are game managers.
But I mean, come on, man. He was like the NFL version. Troy Aikman was like what the Dallas Cowboys was. Troy Aikman to the Dallas Cowboys was, and I know you're gonna think I'm crazy for saying this. he's like what he was to the Dallas Cowboys.
That's what it was.
That's pretty much what it was.
He had a loaded team, and he was like, don't mess up.
That's all it was.
And Jim Kelly is a better quarterback than Troy Aikman. Look it up.
That couldn't be farther from the truth.
Look it up.
Jim Kelly is a better quarterback than Troy Aikman.
Hey, I'm gonna bring it. Let me bring in James here, man.
Jimmy had a hard on for Troy Aikman ever since he came out of high school. Okay, so he had been dying to get Troy and have Troy wing that football around. This is just how Jimmy built the team in Dallas. Jimmy finally got his hands on Troy when he got to Dallas. Because when Troy came out of high school in Oklahoma, Jimmy didn't want anybody else. He wanted Troy.
They was
going to get the football and wing it around. Okay? So I don't know where people get this thing that Troy couldn't have did this and that. Because if Dallas had to do that, they would have done that.
Exactly.
Let me bring in James here. He's been on hold for a while.
Put your hard on for Troy is ridiculous.
Wiley, I got to put you on hold real quick. I got to let James talk.
Man, we need to slow down with some of this talk because it seems like we're making this thing an individual sport. And when you talk about football and basketball, it is not an individual sport. So you can't really point something to one particular guy. I don't care if Peyton Manning is the greatest quarterback since sliced bread. There's 10 other players that are on the same side of the field as he is, and there's 11 players on the other side of the field, too, for one. Because if you're going to bring up that point, everybody knows that Michael Jordan, they say, is the greatest basketball player ever. But how long did it take for him to win an NBA championship? Almost took him 10 years, right?
Yeah, he won his seventh year.
But, I mean, every time he ran into the Boston Celtics or the Detroit Pistons, and they had a team, and they knew what they could do against Michael Jordan. Why? Because they knew that nobody else other than Michael Jordan could beat them. So that's the thing about it. If you need a championship team, you need more than one player to step up for you, regardless if it's football, basketball, or baseball. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that's number one. And then number two about this whole thing with the Dallas Cowboys, I didn't know that they had really a Hall of Fame type defense or one of the best defenses in the league back then. Yeah, they had Charles Haley and, you know, maybe Ken Norton and a couple of other players. But
Darren Woodson.
And Darren Woodson, but
Russell Melvin. Yeah, Russell Melvin.
Woody came later. Woody came later.
Yeah, but Russell Melvin. Talking about that defense, like the '85 Bears or the Ravens or the Buccaneers. You don't really hear them talking about that. They were like a complete team on both sides of the ball, even when they had Deion Sanders. You know, they had Deion Sanders. I'm like, come on, man. But do they say that, hey, they stopped everybody that they faced during the season and then won the Super Bowl? No. They just recognize them as a great team. So that's the thing about that, too. So I'm like, man, it usually, like, fluctuates on what makes a Super Bowl winning team. It doesn't have to be great quarterback play. Not all quarterbacks, you know, win a Super Bowl and, you know, have a great game. Ben Roethlisberger had a pretty bad game against Seattle, if I'm not mistaken.
He sure did.
Still won the Super Bowl. So it takes different factors, you know. So, I mean, that's pretty much what I got to say about that.
Like I said, I agree with everything you said. I mean, like you said, I mean, but tell that to the media, but you know how it is. When you're a superstar like Peyton Manning, you know, it just comes with the territory on it. It's a whole team game.
I think a lot of the time it makes it a little easier for a team. And yeah, of course it takes a team. I'm not saying that all you got to do is put a quarterback out there and then you know go draft the two starting receivers from Appalachian State or something, or you know Denty Moore or Ramen Noodle University.
You know, Ramen Noodle A&M State University.
Yeah, I'm not saying do that, man. But you know, you get you a QB, man, and it just makes everything easier. And
right.
I point to the Green Bay Packers issue. That team is way better if Aaron Rodgers doesn't get injured. They are way better if he doesn't get injured. Now, I know they lost in the playoffs, but that's a better team if he doesn't get injured. And you know, and it's like I was saying to Clausell, you know, that's why these coaches get fired, man, because they have no stability at the single most important position on the field. So when they can't find that, their asses get fired.
Yeah.
And it may bring
up another point.
Go ahead, James. I was going to say something, too.
Yeah. Now, I see that y'all were going back and forth about the Baltimore Ravens. And the thing about last year was it was really about the offense last year compared to the defense. And remember, at a certain point during the season, the Baltimore Ravens were pretty much in danger of not even making the playoffs. And then they had
exactly.
to make that run in order to get to the playoffs. And then, you know, Flacco had that still the playoff thing in order to get to the Super Bowl. But like you said, it wasn't really the defense of the Ravens that year that really took them there. It's like you said, the defense they had this year was a lot better.
Yeah. And their offense sucked.
Yeah, yep. Sure did. It was Jay Rice all season. I mean, I couldn't even find him this past season, man.
It's funny that we mentioned about that. Then too, Clausell, you keep talking about you know, having a running back and having a defense. But hell, look at the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, to me, they're the team. If they would have had a quarterback, this team might would have been in this year's Super Bowl.
You talk about a team that has one of the best rosters in the NFL, and they got a silly ass quarterback.
Hey, what about the running game they got though? Who's running the ball for them?
They got a nice running attack.
The Bengals can do anything. The Bengals can do anything.
That might cost.
Except for you know, they're that quarterback they have.
I'm gonna bring Watley back on.
Oh my goodness!
All right, Watley. Me,
I just need to – I want to go
Let him finish. Let Wiley finish.
I want to go ahead and get my picks on the record for next year. This is at the week after the Super Bowl. I'm going to tell you, the four top teams in the AFC is going to be Pittsburgh Steelers in the north, Indy in the south, New England in the east, and Denver in the west. On the other side, it's going to be – I think San Francisco going to win that one against Seattle next year because usually Super Bowl teams kind of drop off the next year after they win a Super Bowl. So I see San Francisco. I see Green Bay. I see Kansas City. And is in Kansas City in the – NFC?
No.
Wait.
The AFC
West. Arizona in the NFC, ain't it?
NFC,
Arizona's in the NFC. I got Kansas City and Arizona mixed up. Sorry. So the NFC West, I see San Francisco taking. The NFC North is going to be between Green Bay and Chicago. I think Green Bay going to take it. The NFC East, oh, my goodness. Maybe St. Louis. No, that's the South, ain't it? Ain't St. Louis in the South?
Rams in the West.
I want to
NFC
West.
I don't know who the East or the South is right now, but I see Green Bay.
Atlanta, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay and Carolina, Tony. That's the South.
Green Bay, San Francisco, Carolina. And I don't know who the other team is going to be, but this is just preseason before they pick up any things, anything. But that's the four, that's
first
eight teams. I think Green Bay should have been there this year if they didn't have those injuries. I ain't going to lie to you. Hey, Green Bay not gotten those injuries, I think the whole playoff system would have been different. I mean, they got back on the horse late so that when they got in the playoffs, they were already hurt. But had they been ready for those playoff games with their starting quarterback, I think we may have seen a whole different Super Bowl team. I ain't going to lie to you. So Green Bay is going to be a team to beat.
They starting defense? The starting defense or the starting quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers. When Aaron Rodgers got hurt, that was the end of the Green Bay year. Period.
Agreed.
I'd like to give her a bottle.
You know, had he not got hurt and had the receiver, what's his name, Cobb. Had Cobb not gotten hurt, I think they'd have had a great year because now they got that running back in the backfield. Them boys, they got a team on them. They got a team on them. If they can stay healthy, they got a team on them.
I'd like to rebut what Tony Watley has just said. First of all, if you guys voted, Tony did was just name the top teams that finished in their divisions last year, except for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and said he thinks they're going to win. Of course, you can think they're going to win. The season was just over. You can't name who you think is going to go to the Super Bowl right now. That's insane.
How are you going to tell me what I can do? I can do what
because
I want to do.
The offseason. So you mean to tell me that the Steelers could trade Ben Roethlisberger and you're still going to think that they're going to win their division next year?
Look, I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan since I was 6 years old. We don't trade our quarterbacks, especially our Hall of Fame quarterbacks. We retire our Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Ben Roethlisberger ain't going nowhere.
My goodness.
I agree with you. I don't think the Steelers going to trade them.
With your picks, Tony, with your picks, all you do is basically pick the best teams from the previous season and then say your teams are going to win the Super Bowl the next season, and those are picks.
Okay. You say what you want to say, but I think I was right last week. Were you?
I got it right last week, too.
No, I'm talking about from the very beginning. I don't remember hearing
yes.
you say the Seattle Seahawks
yes,
was going to win the
yes,
Super Bowl before
yes, I did.
The season.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
You
yes,
are
I
a
did.
Damn lie. You are a
Go
damn
on.
Lie. You
hey,
said
hey,
the San Francisco 49ers was going to beat the
Move
Seattle
me
Seahawks.
Prove me wrong, Tony.
Prove me wrong.
On the show that we were on when I was making the predictions, you and Chi-Town said San Francisco would beat Seattle. Both of you said.
No, we didn't. I've never.
Okay, I'm lying.
Prove me wrong.
So you gonna tell me that in the preseason when we made those picks, you picked Seattle to win?
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong.
You pick the. You a damn lie. You know it.
Prove me wrong.
You a damn lie, and you know it.
I want to get
Post it on your Facebook where you said that.
Nope. Not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do any of that.
That's because you a damn lie. That's why you're not gonna do it, because you can't find it. You didn't do it.
I want to get to something more pressing right now. And that subject, of course, is Pam Oliver.
Oh.
Come on, Kelly Mike.
This is something to close off here. That's good.
What did you guys think?
She was so sexy.
He was straight. I had no problem with it. I didn't have a problem with the head of it on the NFC Championship.
She didn't look that bad to me. But you know what I read, though, which of course didn't surprise me? She does her own hair and makeup.
Yeah, I saw that somewhere.
I didn't know that either.
You know something I didn't like that I saw in the Super Bowl, or that I thought I saw, and maybe it was just me being racist, but what I thought I saw was Aaron Rodgers or whatever her name is,
Aaron Andrews.
She seemed to be the one that was interviewing all the white people, and old girl was the one interviewing all the black people. What was up with that?
That's because that's what Aaron Andrews is used to. And, of course, you know
Aaron
Andrews
was a college
guy, right? What,
were they protecting
her
from the black people this week?
Well,
you might be onto something there, Watley. You might be onto
something. I never thought of that. I didn't really pay attention to that part.
I never noticed that.
I ain't looking at it that way.
I did notice it. You know, she went out there, and she was the one that got verbally assaulted by the black guy. And then the very next week, she only interviewed the white people, and they let your hair girl interview all the black people. Go rewind it.
Well, you do know where Aaron Andrews went to college at, right, Tony?
No.
Yeah, Florida.
Okay, but I mean, I'm not saying that's what happened, but the after the game interviews, it seemed like she was talking to all the white people and your girl was talking to all the black people. Rewind it and watch it and see if you don't see what I saw.
No, my thing is,
I think you might be right. So I'm going to go back and look at it. My thing is this.
You know, they have Aaron Andrews, who's, I mean, I know Tex thinks she's all right, but it's fair to say an attractive white lady, and they're going to put her next to Pam Oliver.
Like Aaron Andrews,
or when you watch The View, they're going to have Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and then they're going to have her next to Sherry Shepherd.
And Whoopi Goldberg.
I mean, and Whoopi Goldberg. You know what I mean? Why don't they put her next to Megan Good? You know, why don't they put her next to Gabrielle Union or somebody like that? You know, why they always got to put? Yeah, that's my thing. Why they always got to put a very attractive white lady next to a very unattractive black lady? That's the point I'm saying.
Exactly.
The thing is too is why don't these sisters notice this instead of just being so thirsty to beat their asses on TV? Why don't they notice actually what's going on?
Because they don't care about the bigger picture. They care about their paycheck and their bank account.
What's that show?
If somebody gonna give you $100,000 to look ugly, you gonna take that $100,000 to look ugly. You ain't gonna say no. I want the pretty girl to have it.
Hey, what's that show with the chick on who just pulled off her wig and everybody was laughing at her? What is it called?
I don't know what show you talking about, Kelly Mike.
I don't know.
That black lady, she's a comedian, and she pulled off her wig, and everybody was laughing at her. Then she said something. You know, it's like The View, but it's a different show.
You talking about Cheryl Underwood, the comedian?
Yes. Oh, my goodness, dude. She looks so silly every time I see her up there with all them people. And, it's, you know, and she
clowns
herself.
They have one attractive woman on there, don't they? They have like a very attractive white lady next to her or something, or a Spanish lady.
Yep. It's an Asian lady, the lady who was on that host Big Brother, that pretty Asian lady.
Yeah.
Mike, next week,
I've
made this allegation about racial profiling during the Super Bowl where they took Aaron Andrews, and because of the little Sherman incident, they didn't let her against no black men during the Super Bowl. Can we verify this and see if Watley was just crazy next week?
I'll check it out. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't not believe you though. I think it might be true.
I guess because maybe I wasn't paying attention much, but I didn't even really see them interview much of the players during the game.
Yeah,
I guess because
exactly.
Of how the game. I guess that the game was, you know, such a blowout. You know what I'm saying?
Like Aaron Andrews, she went up and she was interviewing the coaches for Denver, and I think, you know, people like that, but it was the white guys. And then they had your girl interviewing the Seattle people, and she was interviewing the black guys that it won.
I think Pam Oliver did interview John Fox at the end of the game when it was in the locker room. I think she went back then and was interviewing him.
Right. I'm not saying Pam Oliver. I'm saying Aaron Andrews.
No, I'm saying, but Pam Oliver did interview somebody white, though.
I'm not saying that the black woman didn't interview a white person. I'm saying that the white woman wasn't allowed to interview the black people this week. Because, America was so scared that she was going to get hurt, like Sherman was going to hurt her last week, you know, that this week they protected her from the black folks by letting her only interview the white folks.
I get you what you're saying now.
About that. I mean,
well, what did you guys think about the new Cheerios commercial?
Did you hear the commercial? Did you hear the DJ?
I don't care about that,
usually,
man.
I can't even remember.
I didn't even know like it was a big controversy behind that, you know.
What was the controversy about it?
But this is my thing. People have no right to get mad about that, particularly in our community. People have no right to get mad about that. But when the number one show in America is, you know what, among black females, you know the number one show in America, what it is? Scandal. So... My wife
saying is, white America is not ready to just openly accept interracial marriages. So that when you start putting interracial couples right in front of everybody, in front of their television, eating breakfast cereal like a regular white family, that is disturbing to white people.
I agree. I mean,
When you look at the commercial, it ain't like the guy kissed her. They weren't even touching at all in the commercial.
It doesn't matter. They're talking about having another baby together. And it's a black man with a white woman.
I guess. My thing is, I guess, man. And whatever. My thing is, if the number one show in America is Scandal, if that's the number one show in America and people are going to get mad about that Cheerios commercial, that just says something right there. I don't know.
But again, Scandal to them
is
just that, a television show. It's not reality. To them, showing a black man with a mixed child and a white woman that's pregnant by that black man and everybody's happy eating cereal, white folks are upset about that.
Was she an attractive white woman?
Scandal is a black woman, though, Clausel, and we all know who watches Scandal, other black women.
Exactly. But no, what I'm saying is the people that are outraged by this Cheerios commercial, I understand you have racists. No, but you have a lot of black women that are, like, outraged by this Scandal commercial, too.
Not as much as white folks. The majority of the outrage comes from white people.
No.
The vast majority
I agree 100% with Tony on that one.
Was she an attractive white lady?
Look, the bottom line is, I
don't
even
matter if she was
attractive.
That matters. That does matter. Oh, no, that matters.
That matters. That does matter.
No, not white people. It don't. You are getting stuck in your own culture. You got to step outside your own culture right now, Clausell. You're worrying about what black people think. The people.
No, I'm not. What are you talking about? No, I'm not. What are you talking about?
Are not black people.
No, you're not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. What are you talking about?
Because you're
no,
sitting
not.
There saying,
well,
is she an attractive white woman? It doesn't matter if she's a mud.
Yes, it does
white.
Matter. Yes, it does matter. Hold on. Yes, it
does
matter.
Not.
Yes, it does.
No,
yes, it does. If it's a high, hold on.
No,
if it's a
it,
high,
it
doesn't.
White, it doesn't matter what she looks like.
Hold on,
she's
hold on. James, I want to see what James has to say. What do you have to say, James?
No, man, it doesn't matter if, you know, if the white woman is fine or not. As long as, you know, she's with a black dude, you know, other white folks will be, you know, bothered by it. And we've said this for the longest time. It doesn't matter if it's in a commercial or if it's in a TV show or if it's dealing with politics. You think Barack Obama would be winning the so-called winning the presidency or whatever it is if he was with a white woman?
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
Well, if she was unattractive, maybe. If she was a very unattractive one, yeah.
They would give him flags.
On the wrong thing, my brother. You stuck on the wrong thing.
Look how much flags they gave him.
I mean, this is live radio here, man, so I don't even want to say anything. I'm just saying, man.
Come on, man, and say it, dear. I mean,
I know.
Hey,
remember, uncut.
No, I'm not
going to
say
anything,
man. I'm going to say this, though.
Good, he went through all that flack, and he's mixed. Just think about it. He was, both of his parents were black. I just say it right there.
The reality that you're not understanding is there is a vast majority of white people that don't associate with blacks in any form. They don't live around them. They don't work with them. They don't raise their children with them. Their children don't go to school with them. They live in all-white neighborhoods. So everything that they see is white. And then they go and watch the Super Bowl, and their children are exposed to this interracial stuff, and they had a fit.
Wiley, I know that. Let me get that straight. I know that, all right? But let's just look at the interracial relationship dynamic, okay? Let's look at the black-white dynamic when you have interracial dating. Okay, look at Erin Andrews. Look at her, okay? And let's think of some people that we know that are in interracial marriages that are famous. Look at Tiger Woods' ex-wife. Look at Lovie Smith's wife. Look at, what's his name?
Look at Seal.
There's a lot of people out there. Huh?
Seal.
Look at any of them. Look at anybody's wife. Look at any of them wife and look, compare the way those women look in comparison to Erin Andrews.
It doesn't matter.
That's all I'm saying.
White people don't care.
I'm not missing the point.
All they care about is that is their daughter. And they don't care, you know, their daughter doesn't have to be beautiful. Their daughter is white, whether she's fat, skinny, tall, short. And if she's dating a black man, she don't fell and bump their head.
I agree with Clausell though. I think if it wasn't Erin Andrews, if it was Linda Cohn or somebody like that, I don't think there would have been half the outrage of it.
Come on,
exactly.
On that cereal commercial,
exactly.
That woman is not beautiful.
It's just it has to be somebody. It usually has to be some white woman that nobody else wants. That's the thing.
That's
the point I'm trying to say.
The woman
that's
on
what
the cereal commercial is not beautiful. You would look at her and think,
That's why she was on that commercial. They wouldn't put Erin Andrews next to that dude on that commercial. You know what I mean?
But
they wouldn't put Megan Fox up there.
A TV six is a real life eight. So she might say she doesn't look good because she's on TV compared to TV broads, but like I say, she wasn't a bad looking lady. She was at least a seven.
What
do you mean if she's a seven on TV? She's a two in real life probably. What are you talking about?
I know.
She's
in
real life, she's an eight.
Nah.
Oh man.
Like I say, most of the people that I've seen, like I said, they're dealing with pretty people. They look a lot better in real life. I mean, white America is not
looking at her and saying, oh, that nigga took a pretty girl. That white America looks and just says, that nigga took a white girl. They're not caring if she's pretty or not.
Okay.
I'm not talking about racist people because I expect them to be racist anyway. I'm more worried about black people who were worried about it, specifically black women who was worried about it. And I think, like I said, that's where I was going at.
This is the first
time my knowledge. I didn't even hear about all this, so y'all informing me.
I really haven't even focused on the black people being worried about it side because, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's something really to worry
about. I'm feeling where Tony's coming from with this whole thing, you know, with what he's saying. It's true.
Mike, how do you feel that? And you watch Scandal.
Like I said, I don't have a problem with, I mean, like Tarvell said, that's a black woman. A lot of most of the people who watch that show are sisters, so shoot, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, and you're a black
woman.
It's a man watching too.
The mayor of New York is a white man who married a black man, black woman. Are black people upset about that? No. But white people can't get over it. They having a fit about how you went and elected a white man that was married to a black woman.
Mike, it doesn't make you feel any way to watch a show that features a white woman that gets basically used as a side piece to a black woman that gets basically used as a side piece to a white man who constantly turns down black men that are good. That doesn't bother you any kind of way to see that on TV?
It sounds like you having some issues as a black man there, Cali Mike.
No, hold on.
I just watched some of it this past year.
You live in a fantasy land. If a black woman is bashing a white man over a black man,
are you all right? You need a hug?
No, it's not.
No, Wiley, you're trying to act like you're living in denial, Wiley. You know good and well it's discussion among a lot of black women in regards to black men dating outside their race. You know that for a fact. You know black women have discussions about that.
Okay, but at the same time, while it's a discussion, black women are more prone to accept it than white women. Why? Because when you are black, you have to understand being denied. You have to understand being multicultural. You have to understand figuring a right way out of a wrong way. White people don't have to understand all that. Why? Because they on the top. They're always in the right way. So all they see when they see that is a wrong way. They're not on the bottom looking up. They're on the top looking down.
What Mike is saying is basically is this. He's saying that the number one show among black women in this country, Scandal, features a black woman who's the mistress of the president,
exactly.
A white man. Right, but yet these black women glorify the show, but they're the mistress, but yet they get angry when they see black men dating white women. That's the hypocrisy of that. Mike is saying that's the hypocrisy of that. That's not reality.
Reality is the Cheerio commercial. Scandal is not reality. That's a television show. The Cheerio commercial is a real family. That's a real black man married to a real white woman, and they have real mixed children.
And that's a Super Bowl. It's more Super Bowl viewers watching than Scandal viewers, so there's more people watching that too.
People watching a black man married to a white woman with a mixed child, and she's pregnant. That is a whole different reality than a television show that maybe 5 million people might be watching. You got 100 million versus 5 million.
You're not even listening to what we're saying, though, Tony. You're not listening to what we're saying. We're saying that it's hypocritical because one of the biggest groups of people opposing that commercial were black women.
That is not true. The biggest group of people, 90% of the people opposing that were white people. It was not black people.
Tony, hold on. Let me finish, bro. First of all, how are you going to say it's not true? You didn't even know about the controversy. You said you didn't even know there was a controversy 5 minutes ago. So how are you going to say something's not true? You don't even know what you're talking about.
I know there's a controversy over cereal.
So you don't know what you're talking about then.
I don't watch Scandal because I don't watch stupid television.
So you don't know what you're talking about.
You know, if you're talking about a television show, but I guarantee you it is not black people that is upset about the Cheerios commercial. It is white people upset
about
the Cheerios commercial.
You don't even
know
what you're talking about.
The Cheerios commercial is real life. Scandal is fake.
How can you give an opinion on something you don't even know what you're talking about?
Scandal is not real. That is a fake television show about a fake relationship.
That you've admitted you've never seen.
Hey, this thing about to end, y'all. All
right. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tex, you have something to say? Hello?
I don't think Tex is on. Tony Watley is the only person I know that has an opinion on something you've never seen, which is insane. I'm talking about the Cheerios commercial. I don't give a damn about Scandal. I'm talking about the Cheerios commercial. You ain't heard nobody talking about Scandal on CNN, but you hear everybody talking about the Cheerios commercial on every single television station. Are we going to go and separate ourselves and just be an all-black television or radio show? Because we're talking about stuff that affects America, not a stuff that just affects black people.
They've been talking about Scandal for 2 years. What are you talking about?
Never mind. Like I said, you are isolating yourself into a culture, and you are making your own problems for yourself, young man. That's all I can tell you. Because when you want to focus on Scandal and black people versus focusing on Cheerios and white people, then
you don't know what you're
have
talking
isolated
about.
Yourself.
Can you just admit you don't know what you're talking about?
I don't know nothing about Scandal, but I know everything about the Cheerios commercial, and I know everything about what's going on about racial segregation in this country.
Did you guys hear him 5 minutes ago when he said that he didn't even know there was a controversy about the Cheerios commercial?
He was talking about Scandal, Mike.
You ain't never heard me say no shit like that. I didn't know about the controversy about the commercial. I'm the one who explained what was going on in the commercial. Tony, I brought the commercial up.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Never mind.
All right, but hold on. You're going to tell me that I'm not the one that said that the black man was on there talking to the little girl
and the white woman was pregnant.
Hold on, James. You got something to say? Hey, James, you got something to say? I brought the Cheerio commercial up. We're not even talking about that. We could continue this on the whole Facebook thing,
because bringing that Scandal thing up was kind of, that kind of like threw me off a little bit. But,
I know. What was that?
I mean, that,
no,
that's
you're saying about why a black woman fell about it and they seen that, you know, and then you seen a white woman with a black man, you know, how sisters will react. That's how I came up to being with the Scandal thing, because then, you know, Kerry Washington, her character, she, I guess, has affairs with, you know, with the president. He's white,
so. My thing is this.
He's never seen the show, so he doesn't know what he's talking about.
But my thing is, for black females to cheer Scandal says something about why Pam Oliver wore that hair hat. That's all I got to say right there. It's connected. Why Pam Oliver won the hair hat. So we shouldn't even concern ourselves with Pam Oliver because she's not even trying to impress us anyway. So that's just the point I'm trying to say to the brothers out there.
That's what I was trying to say, too, but I got interrupted by somebody who didn't even know what they were talking about who was trying to make a point.
And I think, Wiley, you're wrong in a sense of you're saying it doesn't matter if she's attractive.
I know more about what I'm talking about than you know what you talk about. I teach at the college kids, which means I got to know what I'm talking about. I'm not just on this radio station talking.
Wiley, I disagree with you. Cultural diversity is all about the Cheerios commercial. Wiley, I disagree with you in the standpoint of you're saying that her being attractive doesn't matter. I think it does matter. It does matter.
Okay.
If it's interracial, y'all know more about it than me.
I just teach it to college kids.
But I'm saying if they're going to project an interracial marriage with the black-white dynamic, they're going to have to project the white side has to be very unattractive, very undesirable to promote to America. That's what it was. It pretty much.
But it's still a big controversy with it because she's white and black, and we all know what this country is. It's still racist.
Like I said. I mean,
Tiger Woods had a white wife. I mean, nobody made a big deal about that.
To college,
but Tiger Woods is not. But Tiger Woods, I mean, hey, white folks love him. I mean, he at the time he was mixed with other mixers, and he really at the time saying he wasn't, you know, black. We know he's black, but then see how everybody turned their back on him when he got caught and had that affair.
I don't think that the dude is black.
Who?
Tiger Woods. Don't think Tiger Woods is black.
He is black. His daddy is black like my daddy, and he's black.
Thank you.
No,
he's
mixed.
Tiger Woods is black.
Yeah.
Black.
Let me tell you about something.
He's
Marvell knows this. What's the first thing somebody said about when somebody says something about somebody black? Your mama black. This dude's mama is Asian.
Yep. Oh my God. Boy.
Yep.
We know about the one drop rule. When it comes to African Americans, is definitely different.
All right, man.
How do you judge somebody who's African American, Tony?
The same way everybody else judges them. If you got a drop of black, you a nigga.
So
I heard it all the time.
Hold on.
You got a drop of black, you a nigga, and you can claim it.
You follow rules that people came up with Jim Crow to stop our grandparents. You follow those rules? Really?
If you got a drop of black, you can claim your ancestry.
I
got to
get rid of.
That's what I say.
That's called the one.
All right, we
got to
head out, man. We
got that came up in Jim Crow to stop black people from voting. And you use that rule, really? And you're supposed to teach kids about
if you got a drop of black, you can claim your heritage. That's what I say.
Heritage, dude, that's called the one drop rule. They invented it to
stop
our grandparents from voting, bro.
If you can prove that you got one drop of black, then you are African American.
That was invented to stop people from being free, and you're using that rule 200 years later.
No. It doesn't matter how the white man takes it. It doesn't matter how the white man sees it. That's how we as black people should see it. We should be proud of that one drop.
Proud? My goodness.
What may not be dark skinned, you are not supposed to be proud of your one drop?
Nobody said they're not proud of their one drop.
What are you talking about?
Well, who said they're not proud of their one drop?
About if all they got is one drop, they can't claim being black. I say if they got one drop, they should be proud to be black.
His mother is Asian.
I don't give a damn what his mother is.
All right, so when you mix red and green, so I got a question, Wiley. When you mix red and green, do you get red or green?
When you mix red and green, you get blue. To get blue, you got
to
have green.
Yellow. Huh?
You got to have green. That's just like it doesn't matter what you mix. To get some kind of pigmentation in your skin, you get some pigmentation.
No, my point is this. So if you mix black and white or black and you mix black and white, you get black. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, you absolutely do. You might not get a dark shade
you get
of black,
a mix,
but you're going to
get
a shade
mix.
Of something other than white.
You won't be white. You won't be white. Yeah, you won't be white, but you won't be black. You'll be mixed.
But what do you mean you won't be black? You won't be black. You will have black in you.
No, you have
black
in you, but you won't be
you black. And to America, regardless, you mix, you black.
Yeah, America
Thank
will see you.
You
as black. I'll agree with you. America will
see you
as black,
black,
but you're not black, though. You're not
black.
You
are black.
My grandmother was an Indian.
The only race that
does
that
is black people. That's right. The only race that does that
is
black people.
Is she black?
Only race.
The only and Mike's right. Kelly Mike's right. The only race that has that mindset is black people. That's
like,
the only
that
race.
Mindset. It comes from the one drop rule that they used to declare who could be a slave and who couldn't. And
we gotta continue this on Facebook, yo.
Use that rule.
Yeah.
Wow, y'all talking crazy.
Crazy. All right,
if you say so, man.
Somebody wants to use Jim Crow law, and we're the crazy one. All
right.
No,
hey, close it up, Callie Mike. Close it up, Callie Mike. I got a bounce, yo.
I want people that have parents that are black to be proud to be black. and y'all want people that are not all the way black not to claim black. And I think that is crazy.
No, I'm so proud.
No, we're not saying they don't. They can acknowledge they're black in them, but they're mixed. What are you talking about?
No,
nobody's saying they should be ashamed to be black.
They don't have to acknowledge black in them. What the fuck? I cannot believe you said that I got black in me. No, they can acknowledge being black. They don't have to acknowledge being fucking black in them. They can be black.
Dude, first of all,
but they're mixed,
first of all,
though, Wiley.
So
they're mixed.
I'm so proud. I don't need everybody to claim to be black. I'm proud of the people that are black. You might
I understand that,
so
Wiley. They're mixed.
That right now, Barack Obama calling himself black offends you.
It don't offend me, but he's not black. He's mixed.
He is black. He is black.
He's no,
black.
He's looked at as being black. He's looked at as being black, but he's
man,
mixed.
Y'all,
he's
wild.
He's raised by white people. He's a white man.
Y'all are tripping, dude.
Black.
Because I guarantee you ain't not
there's
one
that
way of y'all still black. You cannot, I guarantee you there's nobody in this country that's been here for more than two generations that can trace their heritage all the way back to Africa with no mixture of anything else in it. So if that's the case, then ain't none of you niggas black.
Look, man, we are off your plantation. You don't have to go by those rules anymore.
All right, I'm about to bounce, yo. Y'all got something? Hey, James, start the thing on Facebook, yo. James, start the dialogue on Facebook, yo. All right, I'm about to bounce, yo.
All right, y'all.